What's up, people? Welcome to the Eastern Lariat for this very special edition of the show focused on Pro Wrestling Noah, Keiji Muto, New Japan, and Noah. I'm your host, Dylan Fox. As you can tell, since Striga is not opening the show, as he usually does, it does a fantastic job, in my opinion. He's not here this week. Send him some well wishes. Keep him in your thoughts. He's doing good. He's going to be back next episode. But we haven't forgot about you, Striga. We need to let you know that. And I hope everybody's had a good week, good day. It's start of the week now. Chinese New Year was yesterday. Great day for me. Lots of good stuff going on there. My birthday's later this week. And I'm very hyped for that. Very hyped about all the cool stuff we're going to talk about today. And I couldn't do it alone. So I had to bring on my good friend, somebody I've talked to many, many times. You know him if you are a member of the Eastern Lariat family on patreon.com/EasternLariat. Love him a lot. Love his takes on Noah, his fandom, and all of the great reasoning he has. So please welcome to the Eastern Lariat, Dean. How are you doing? How are you feeling? First time ever on the free feed here.
Hey, Dylan. Thanks for having me on. I'm very excited. It's an exciting time for Noah. I've graduated from the dark matches on the Patreon to the main feed. I'm really excited. Was so happy when you reached out to me. It's a lot to talk about and just a lot of really cool stuff going on in the world of pro wrestling Noah right now.
I will say that I always enjoy talking to you on the Patreon. I know a lot of the Eastern Lariat family there do as well. They really appreciate your insights. I know you're a well-thought-out person, too. Sometimes I occasionally see you putting reviews on Cage Match as well and stuff. So I know you're thinking about what you've got to say. You're not just coming out here saying crazy stuff all the time. Although there's room for that. There's always room for crazy stuff in wrestling.
I don't think I have anything too crazy today. I got my notes. I think everyone's kind of on the same page with Noah right now, which is exciting. There's no big arguments happening. There's no, you know.
Well, we know that we're in the world of wrestling. That may only last for so long, my friend. But for right now, we will talk. We'll see. Maybe there'll be an argument on this show. You're just going to just rage at me on there. But hopefully not. I don't think so.
No.
Like I said, the Patreon is not the dark matches, though, I will say. That's like the exclusive club for people to be
in.
That's
a good point, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like the Volver.
Think about it.
Yeah, it says sky blue velvet ropes there. It's got to look fancy, you know, much like Jogo Kiona's entrance attire. You know, she looks super fancy in her entrance. So we got to keep that vibe right now. This is a Jogo Kiona respector OG right here we're talking to. So we will talk about her in a little bit. But I wanted to start off because I will say that one thing before we get to that, it's a good little segue I have. I do want to shout out all the listeners out there. Hopefully you guys have joined me on a new show that I'm a part of, completely not in competition with Eastern Lariat, because that would be stupid to be in competition with myself, but we are on, or I am on, a brand new show on the Five Star Network called The Dramatic Dream Dragons with my good friend Sandre Bjorn and Yannick. And we talk about Dragon Gate and DDT, which we had done before on the Patreon, and somehow it went to this new show, to be honest, that Sandre wanted to host, and there's a lot going on there. We'll see what the future holds for it, but I said it on the Twitter, I said it on the Patreon, I said it on the show. As long as the logo looks like Mortal Kombat logo, I will always be there in spirit on D3s. So if you want to hear more about DDT and Dragon Gate, to the minutia, well, listen to me on there. I should be there maybe not every single week, but I will be there most of the time because the Eastern Lariat is my home at the end of the day. I cannot turn my back on the Eastern Lariat family, and I will always be here. That's the one thing, every single show.
But besides all that, we got to move on to something much, much more important and unfortunately much more sad. Because on Dramatic Dream Dragons,
on the latest episode, we only done two episodes so far, but on the latest episode at the end of the show, we had a big discussion, and I said a lot on there about the unfortunate and sad and tragic death of Jay Briscoe. And we talked a lot about it on there, or I definitely said the most probably on there. And I am so happy to have you on, Dean, because, man, just like I said on the other show, Jay is somebody that had incredible, not just performances, and obviously this is a very tragic story to come up with an unfortunate passing, only 38 years old. I know there's been an update that his daughter, I know, was in a car accident. They were in a car accident, and his daughter seems to be getting better as time things to be are showing signs of recovery. So I'm very happy for that, at least. But Jay Briscoe is somebody that had a huge impact on me as a fan, and specifically the tag team, the Briscoe brothers. They were one of the first acts in Ring of Honor that I really kind of latched onto. And Dean, the difference between you and me is that I was here, I was from Memphis, Tennessee, just a kid watching online, and you had so much more personal interaction with Ring of Honor, and I'm so happy you're here to explain your story. So I'd like to give you the floor a little bit and talk a little bit about Jay and what he meant to you as a fan.
Well, I was digging in some boxes today for some keepsakes, because I have some old tickets from shows I went to, when I was a teenager. And I have a handful of tickets in my hand right now. I think the first show, the first Ring of Honor show I went to is March 13th, 2004. And I had to go back and check a cage match. And, you know, the semi-main on that show is a cage match between Samoa Joe and Jay Briscoe. The next show I went to was like July 2004. The main event was Samoa Joe and the Briscoes versus the Rottweilers, Homicide, Rocky Romero, and Ricky Reyes. And these were shows that kind of just formed me as a wrestling fan. You know, I was a teenager and, kind of had watched WWE as a kid or WWF, and then got into TNA, and then that led to Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor led to Noah and New Japan and everything. And the big reason that I became such a passionate wrestling fan was because of these shows that I went to and seeing guys like the Briscoes. My dad would take me, and my dad's not really a wrestling fan, but my dad loved the Briscoes. Every show we'd go to, he'd say, where are the Briscoes wrestling tonight? What's going on? I'd have to like tell him the card so he would know when the Briscoes were coming on. And when I told him the other day, he was, you know, he was devastated, and he's not even a wrestling fan, but he remembers watching these Briscoes matches. And, you know, sometimes some of his friends are wrestling fans, and they recently, with obviously the success they've had in Ring of Honor and AEW, and, you know, this year, I think everyone knew the Briscoes were, you know, such a decorated tag team. And a lot of, you know, Dylan, you said you think they're one of the best ever. I think that I would probably say the same thing. They might be the best tag team of all time. And for them to have this year that they just had with this massive success and match of the year awards and just, you know, having all these people kind of either rediscover the Briscoe brothers or learn about the Briscoe brothers for the first time, and to just see their energy. And I'm not, you know, I've never been hit this hard by, like, you know, a death of someone that I don't even know. I never met him, you know, but I saw him live, and it was just really made me think, you know, like, it's all these people that, you know, that one person, you know, brought so much joy and happiness to people all over the world, to, you know, me when I was a little teenager watching these matches, to me now watching their matches versus FTR. And I mean, it's just really, it's hard to even put it into words. And, you know, and I'm just talking about the wrestling, like, let alone him as a family, as a, you know, as a father and his family, and as a locker room leader. And I mean, you saw hundreds of people just discussing how much he meant to them. And, you know, it's just a tragedy. And obviously, you know, we're thinking about his family and hoping that, you know, everything ends up being okay. But it just wanted to kind of start by saying that, and, you know, rest in peace to Jay Briscoe, and, you know, prayers to their family and everything. It's, you know, they meant a lot to me. And I think, you know, I've realized more in the last couple of days, like, how much they actually meant to me. You know, like, I was showing my fiance, like, their promos, and, like, how much they'd make me laugh. Like, just every promo that was shared over the last couple of weeks, just, like, laughing so hard at them. And it's just really tragic. And I just, you know, wanted to start with kind of a shout out to him and his family and just, you know, cause then even with the New Japan and Noah show, I was watching that. I didn't expect the tribute, and that was what really hit me. And I kind of, that was what made me break down for the first time, just seeing that and, you know, seeing all these people come out in support of him and just, you know, acknowledging what happened and everything. And it was just, you know, unbelievable still, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, get that.
This was so important to talk about it. I'm very, you know, I would have wanted us to start out this way anyway. You know, just because you've seen, like you said, he meant so much to you and a lot of the fans there. You see, you know, obviously the family, like, that's the first thing I said, you know, this goes beyond any kind of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, with everything, to see somebody die at the age of 38, that's a terrible tragedy. You know, there's no other way to say it. I know the other driver that swerved into his lane, she unfortunately passed away as well. And, I pray for her family as well and anybody affected by this sort of thing. And I kind of mentioned on the Dramatic Dream Dragons, but, you know, not to start things off with a super downer or anything, but, you know, when I was thinking about this, when I was doing that show and now talking with you, Dean, it really brought me back, because I did say it that I really think as a, you know, just as a fan, a wrestler, and all that stuff's not that important in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, the more personal things, that's what really matters most, and all of the affection that he got from all of the people. And that really hit me, because, you know, I do want to shout out a couple of people on Twitter, Chad Campbell Soup and Jack Shares Greps. They both made great threads go on their pages about so many, like 100 Jay Briscoe matches that they put on there. You know, most of them you can see on YouTube, I think, even. There was a big thread from both those guys, so I really appreciated their efforts. And like you said, so many just promos and stuff shared that is just unbelievable amount of it. But, you know, it really brought me back to a few years ago when Atsushi Aoki passed away, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, he had a motorcycle accident and everything, and that really reminded me of that, on all the love they got shown to him. And I it really, that day, because me and Striga did record a tribute show to Aoki when that happened, and it was all about him. And, you know, if we, you know, I'm sure that there's going to be many, many shows in all the world talking about Jay Briscoe and his whole career, because there's so much to talk about. You know, you have to have a whole episode to really
go through
everything that he meant and all the great things that he did. But to see that was so that really hit me, because all of this stuff, all of this outpouring and all of this emotions and all of the love that he got shown, it reminded me, and I know you're an NFL fan too, Dean, but the recent injury to DeMar Hamlin, the Bills, where, you know, people were fearing for his life, and so much love came out for him through that. And that's the saddest part of this Jay thing, is that all of this came out, but he's not here to see it, you know? And yeah. I wish that somehow, I wish we could show this kind of love to everybody when they're alive. And I know that's kind of like hard for, you know, humanity, nothing like necessarily nefarious about it, just for humanity to have that outpouring of emotion so often, unless something like this would happen. But that shows you how important this life is, man, you know, where anything could happen to anybody. And for on a personal level, you know, this did hit me. I said it on the Dramatic Dream Dragons, even on the Aoki show a few years ago. And that one was really wild, because I just found out about this. But my blood dad, who I never got to meet, but the thing that I have of him is an obituary. He passed away due to a car accident, very similar to this.
I'm sorry.
No, and he was only 33 years old when he died, even younger than Jay. And so it shows you that these things can happen to anybody, whether it's a younger person, you know, in the 30s, 40s, all the way up to your 80s, 90s, however you drive. You know, these things can happen to anybody, and, you know, it affect anybody. You know, and even when you're a legendary performer like this, you know, it's just a very, very tragic thing to see these kind of things, where it's something that nobody probably even thinks about 99% of the time. If you're driving down the road, you know, you're not expecting or thinking about getting into a deadly car accident, you know? And that's something that in America, especially, you know, in some places like Japan, obviously we're going to talk about their wrestling, public transit is a much bigger deal. In America, there's really not that much there, you know, in these roads out there. So you really have to be careful. And that's something I would say, because it could all change in the blink of an eye, you know, and somebody's life has changed forever. Not somebody, some bodies, you know, the whole family. Obviously, Mark, I think we all have in our thoughts, because we knew him through a screen. It's not like we knew him personally. Like you said, it was totally accurate earlier. But these people, they brought a lot to everybody. It really impacted the world of wrestling in a crazy way. Up to literally a month and a half ago, you know, and like where they were having the match of the year, like you were talking about, all this critical acclaim and awards, and whether it's, you know, Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer, Voicer Wrestling, any of these big names that are in wrestling that cover wrestling in general, you talk about match of the year and awards and stuff like that, them and their matches are pretty much going to be right at the top of the list, and they could have been. You know, for every year, probably, if you really dug into it, especially back in those days. And that's another thing that really affects me about them. You're talking about 2004 when you first saw them.
Yeah.
They were probably 20 years old, you know, like, you know, 19, you yeah. know.
I think on that, there's a couple of very early Ring of Honor shows where Mark can't wrestle because he's not even 18 yet. And in the states they were in, he was legally not allowed to wrestle.
Well, you need to come to Tennessee, would be my advice to him. When there's not any of those pesky commissions that you have to worry about there. I don't know if you ever saw this. I saw this sometime. This was actually kind of recently that I saw this. Somebody posted something where in Tennessee. This is totally aside to everything, but a little funny story to kind of bring the mood up a little. Somebody had posted that They want a picture to put on your wrestling license here, but somebody just scribbled in, like, they drew, like, a cartoon face, like the most lazy.
Oh, my God. Face,
and they actually put it on their wrestling license.
I want to see this.
Yeah, I found it on Twitter. I'll try and dig it up after the show and see if I can't find it. But it was hilarious to me when they saw that, and that could happen. But, yes, obviously, up there, up north a little bit, and different states, yeah, not even up there. Yeah. Like, Kentucky's the same way. Like, Chuck Taylor had to come from Kentucky to Tennessee to wrestle when he was like 14 because they actually have commissions and stuff on here. And I don't know why that was, but it just is how it is sometimes in the world of wrestling. But yeah, I do remember those stories because they started out super young in their teenage years, and that obviously resonates with me a lot as well. And to see them make a whole life and career and, you know, help, you know, not only did it help the wrestling business, but it helped them raise their families, live their dreams, have a lot of great times in their lives and a lot of great times in other people's lives, no matter who it was, whether it was some small guy, you know, bottom of the card dude in Ring of Honor. We've seen guys come up like that. We've seen to the top of the industry, Kevin Owens and you know, Sami Zayn and all these people talk about how great the Briscoes were and how much they loved them. From all the communities, all walks of life, all companies, man, that's when you know. And that's one thing that I really regret, to kind of swing this back to where I started. When somebody passes away so unexpectedly like this, one of the biggest shames is that they weren't able to see, you know, because maybe he didn't know that, you know. And I mean, again, we don't know this.
Yeah.
We're just speculating. But maybe he didn't feel that love for a long time. Or I'm not saying he's unhappy or anything. I'm just saying that. Man, how much would it have meant? How much would it mean to anybody to see so many people love you and respect your work to the greatest extent? That it's just it was an amazing thing to see, but unfortunately, it's such a tragedy that happened. And I pray for the family, like you said, Mark. I hope that he does what's best for him. They never really separated as a team. All those years, and Jay was a more accomplished singles wrestler than Mark in Ring of Honor. He's the real world champion at one point, you know, and the actual world champion as well at another point. But he got that push all the way to the top of the company, and, you know, but they never really broke up, even then when they were pushed as more singles, and they kind of formed their own characters as time went along. Mark was a little bit more high-strung, kind of like a more comedic style at times, with the kung fu.
Sussex County Chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and the chicken farm business, too. And that's another great thing about them. These guys probably made more money off of that farm than they did wrestling, and they just did it because they loved it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, it shows you the kind of people that these guys were, the whole family was, with all the love that they got shown over the days. And that's the one good thing, and hopefully it helps their family. I hope that they at least get to see all this and see, hey, you know, this guy was special. He was important to so many people. And I hope the same is true for everybody out there, that that's a lesson I hope we can take from all of this to kind of close this part out for me anyway, is that it's really important to show that love while you can, because if somebody's important to you in any way, it might not even be like a family member or anything, or it may not even be like a romantic relationship or anything like that. It might just be somebody you really admire or think highly of. You know, we're all human beings at the end of the day. And I think we all need a little bit more of that love in our lives while we still can appreciate it and live, because, well, you know, it could happen to anybody. And that was really what I was thinking about, Jay. And, you know, whether it was Aoki as well, this kind of thing can happen to anybody. And there's nothing, I'm not even trying to put blame on anybody or anything like that. I hope that we all can show each other love and respect and admiration, which is a little difficult in the age of social media. I think the things we were talking about it a little bit off the air, something totally unrelated, but things can kind of snowball sometimes on social media. So I think, and I hope that we can kind of cut a lot of that out, or at least minimize it to as much as we can, and focus on showing more love, even if it's not even, you know, there's not even any reason for it, just because the same thing with me and you and stuff, you know, like, it could happen to anybody tomorrow, either of us or any of the listeners or anybody. So we got to stay sharp on that. And if you listen to my Patreon, if you are a subscriber on there, at the end of every episode, I say, you know, I love you. And I really mean that, because, like I said, of how much you guys mean to me, like the listeners of the Eastern Lariat and the patrons and even the free listeners and everybody, you know, on any show, Striga, you know, I've got nothing but love for that guy, you, Dean. But I really want everybody listening.
Yeah,
I really want you guys to know that I appreciate y'all. And if anything ever did happen to me, I want you to know that I love y'all so much. And the listenership to this show has made my life, you know, in all honesty, you know, to be completely real with you. Because, you know, like I said, I never got to meet my blood dad. To be honest with you, or anything like that. My family life is well known for not being the happiest, to be honest. But my real family is all over the world, and that's how I look at it. You know, and I really want y'all to know that out there if anything happens. So, you know, Jay Briscoe, reach for the sky, boy. You know, rest in peace, man. You know, and I hope that the family gets all the best, and I hope that he knows and they know from the Eastern Lariat and me and everybody involved that there was nothing but respect and love for Jay and what he brought to the ring. And Dean, do you have anything else you want to say about Jay?
You did a great job wrapping that up. And I would say, you know, everyone just call your family, you know, tell them you love them, tell them to drive safe, and then go watch some Briscoe promos online to have a smile on your face, because maybe the best tag team ever. And, you know, rest in peace, Jay.
Absolutely. That's going to take a lot of time. There goes the next month or so that you'll be watching those promos on there. So, yeah, definitely highly recommend that to truly one of the greatest teams of all time. And Jay in himself, I think, is one of the best American workers that I can think of overall, in all honesty.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah. So, like you said, just going to kind of talk back a little bit, talk back around. We're going to go back to the show. Wrestle Kingdom in Yokohama Arena. So I made my opinion on this clear as well. You know, there's no easy way to transition for that, so we're just going to get into it here.
Mm-hmm.
I made my opinion clear on this, that this was not Wrestle Kingdom. I think that this was a branding show, but not the same as January 4th. What say you?
That's fair. This is, maybe it's a new tradition. We've gotten it 2 years. Seems like they're, you know, it got a lot of people watching, so maybe they keep it up. I would like to see it branded as something different, you know, like make it a New Japan. No, I mean, I also have like a theory that, I mean, we might as well get into it. So last year, they announced this show in November. Mm-hmm. And this year, they didn't announce this show until like a few weeks before, basically. Well, they announced the show, but they didn't announce that it was New Japan vs. Noah, which was what they announced in November of 2021. And so that was unusual to me. Like, why would they wait so long if this was something that they had squared away? And part of me thinks that maybe this was like a last minute thing. Like, maybe they were going to do something with AEW, or maybe they were going to do a Keiji Muto retirement deal, and something got, you know, complicated, and they were like, oh, well, I guess that's not going to work. Let's just call the Noah office and see if, you know, Kenno will job to Naito in the main event. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. Because I don't know why they – I mean, I could be totally wrong, but it's a little unusual that they waited, you know, an extra month and a half to announce it if that was the plan all along. But either way, I mean, yeah, I think that this could be a new tradition, but I agree with you. This is not really – it's not Wrestle Kingdom. It's a separate deal now.
When in danger, break glass for Kenno.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a New Japan's thing here. And I think that's the reason why things were how it was in terms of attendance. 5,533, which is down almost 1,500 people from last year, and definitely down from the show following, which definitely also played a major role, I would say. And that's the next day that we're talking about. But that's interesting, because like you said, I remember saying that when me and Strigger were talking about Wrestle Kingdom. I was thinking, man, this angle is so goofy for Kongo to still be mad about something that happened a year ago with no real follow-up in the time between. Like, you know, it's not like this.
It felt like last minute. It felt sort of slapped together.
Yeah, then, you know, you had Charlton on commentary. It's like, what's that? A Kongo fight backstage? What's going on?
Yeah.
So I think that there's definitely some steam to what you're saying, in my opinion, Dean. I think you're definitely onto something there, and I think it did play into that role. But they did at least, I think this year, the one big edge they had over last year, because I think last year they really weren't trying to make the best of it all in all. It was more like the novelty of New Japan and Noah was enough. And it was. And it totally was. Because I remember when they played those videos when they announced it that November of Okada trash talking Noah and Nakajima saying he doesn't watch New Japan. Everybody got fired up for that. And just, like, without even any matches. You know, so I didn't think that they probably felt the need to do anything major on that show. But this one, they wanted to put a decent foot forward, and because it, like you said, I definitely buy what you're saying about it coming together like last minute for some reason, but they also did have this built-in storyline with Kongo and LIJ that allowed them to make a couple of pretty major matches that obviously the champions in the tag match, which we will definitely talk about coming forward. And so they did a little bit more here, I think, in this year. Just that was my vibe going into this show, that they did more this year than they did last year.
I think you're right, but I think also, like, looking back, I think the two big tags from the 2022 show were actually better than anything that happened on this show, outside of, like, I mean, the Okada Kaito angle is the hottest thing to happen in a while, so let's put that aside. But, like, the 10-man tag with LIJ and Kongo last year, and I loved the main event for, you know, I just that type of match, like, really resonates with me, like an interpromotional sort of feud with like big names. Like, I was all into that, and I thought both those were better. That I mean, the, you know, we'll get into the matches, but I don't know, it was an interesting vibe. I think that I'm not surprised that this show didn't draw as well as last year because of how, you know, famous Keiji Muto is at this point, or you know, over the course of his career. But yeah, you know, it was a good show overall, but you know,
yeah, just going into it, I really felt like I appreciated the singles match run that they had, five singles matches. And like you said, though, when you think about it, yeah, obviously, to kind of jump ahead a little bit, I think I agree with you. My favorite match was definitely the 10-man tag last year, like the Kongo LJ tag. I think that was better than any – yeah, like that's – I didn't even think about that. But now that you bring it up, yeah, I agree with you, actually.
And people were so mad about tag matches last year. Like, everyone was like, this is ridiculous. Why are there singles matches? Yeah. And then we got five, and none of them were as good as the 10-man last year. So,
yeah, there was just an
electric. People hate on tag matches. You got to stop hating on these tags because they're always good.
And we'll talk about the main event. I think sometimes it benefits to have less, like less can be more in certain cases. You know, that's why there was so much electricity to last year. And for this year, you had to kind of stretch things out in these one-on-one pairings, overall. But, did you watch the pre-show tags?
Yeah. I think nothing crazy. Yano and Fujita have had interactions on both shows, which I think will be cool if some, you know, 5 years from now they have another match and we can get some video clips in the pre-match hype video that show this. But, and then the Daiki Inaba, Kitamiya versus, Tomohiro Ishii and Oscar. I thought that was fine. I think Kitamiya and Ishii they're a really good match for each other. I'm like not the biggest Ishii fan, but I think him and Kitamiya match up really well. And they're like, it's a good like mirror image match. They're like pretty similar workers. And I think that they would have a really cool singles match. And, who knows if it'll happen, but I'd be down for that. But, nothing, I don't think there was anything, you know, special in either of these.
You know, Dean, I really wanted to have you on the show. And I always love talking to you on the Patreon. I talk to you about Noah, just in wrestling in general. I really value your thoughts. I think you're really well thought out. And I bring you on the show, and you bring me this? You say you don't like Ishii?
I don't know. We got to do a whole episode on my my top five overrated wrestlers that will blackball me from the community. But no, I think Ishii is good, but my thing with Ishii is that he's I think Yuji Okabayashi is just a better version of Tomohiro Ishii.
Okay, well, I don't know if I can argue with that. No, Okabayashi is awesome.
I don't think Ishii's a bad wrestler, but I think that he's an overrated wrestler. That's what I'd say.
Okay, well, I will say this, though. Yeah, I know that Striga must have been fired up watching Oscar here. I know he his new favorites are Loibe, as he pronounced it on here, or at least how Kevin Kelly pronounced it here. So, Striga, correct me when we have our next show if I'm wrong about Loibe here. But I agree with you. To be honest, the Young Lions match was not that special. In all honesty, they're all good. Like you said, it's nice to see the young guys get their spot. The second match was all about Ishii and Masa. But even that, like, I was super fired up during the match seeing them go at each other. But then by the end of it, it's like, when you're going all the way, it's like, it was something that would have been great if they cut off the last minute or two of the...
Yeah, it dragged out a lot. Yeah. They were still, like, brawling up the ramp, like, the whole way.
And why? Like, why does Ishii hate this man so much? You know, at the end of the day. They've never
Maybe they just, like, went into business for themselves and were like, hey, we're in the dark match, but let's, like, do a little angle here because...
Trying to get our whole match out of it.
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Get a, you know, get a paycheck on the next show.
Well, Masa needs something, considering where he would end up. So I can't blame him for this overall. But then we moved in, like we kind of mentioned at first, they did a whole tribute to Jay Briscoe, which, like you said, was maybe not that expected, but the truth is he does have a history, and the Briscoes both have history with Noah and New Japan as well, former tag team champions in both promotions. Noah was all the way back in 2008, I think.
Yeah.
You had the famous finish of them going for a doomsday device, but then Marufuji turning it into a Shiranui Kai at the from the doomsday.
Crazy, position. Yeah,
great finish. And that was one of the first matches I think I saw of that finish was Jay was like pointing to the crowd like they got the pin, and meanwhile Marufuji actually pinned him behind him, and he's like, "What?"
That's a great match.
Yeah, great match. Marukin versus Briscoe Brothers is like a great match for sure.
Yeah, Briscoes were the first never openweight six-man champs with Toru Yano, which is some good wrestling trivia that a lot of people probably know now, but most people would not be able to guess before, you know, all this happened.
No, I definitely would not have guessed that, to be honest. But yeah, they're very, very interesting thing. So they did have a history of both, and we saw a lot of guys come out here. Definitely they had the deal in the ring where they did the 10-bell salute. They played the theme music. You had Tanahashi and Marufuji were there. They had like this, they had photographs of Jay and stuff. It was a very well done tribute. First of all, we need to start right there.
Very nice. Very nice.
So very cool stuff there to start off. But they then went to the regular show, the full show now, and basically they played like a hype video. And then we got the first match of the show, which I know was the match I think you were looking forward to most. The big eight-man tag.
Oh, my.
With Satoshi Kojima, Toriano, the aforementioned Toriano, Takashi Sugiura, and Hiroshi Tanahashi. So we've got the Noah tag champs here, and then they took on Kenta, Naomichimaru Fuji, El Fantasmo, and Gato for a completely goofy team. But yes, they kind of played into the match because they were, like, doing a bunch of Bullet Club stuff, and they were kind of teasing, would Mara Fuji do the Bullet Club stuff? But he tried to stay as, straightforward as they could, and it all led to Yano getting the win on Gato because, you know, Yano needed the pin. I would say of everybody on his team, he was the one we all wanted.
Yeah, I think I know that you and I both love interpromotional shows. Like, it's just this very cool thing when you get, you know, guys from different companies in the ring. But, like, they always are going to come with matches like this where you'll, like, look at one side of the ring and be like, oh, it's cool that, like, Tanahashi's in there. And then, like, just, you know, that's it. Like, that's really – I thought it was, like, kind of funny, like, at the end where – like, Sugiura was like, he wanted to go in Bullet Club and he was trying to do the two sweet. Like, but this is, you could skip this. Like, there is just, I mean, it was funny for like 45 seconds and then, that was about it.
Do you think that they're going to do anything more with Marukin in either company?
I don't know. I mean, I remember when we previewed the Noah, the New Year show, we were both like so amped for it and then it just didn't go down the way we thought it would. And, I don't know. I mean, at this point now, like, my guess is that Kenta just doesn't want to do it. Like, he just doesn't care. Because, like, it was set up, right? Like you said, you thought they were going to win the tag belts, and, like, that would be Kenta's run again. But that didn't happen. And then they just did this gimmicky, you know, him doing the Bullet Club deal, and then that was it. So I think I'm cashing out. My hopes were dashed and I'm kind of off the Kenta and Noah train, but, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, it seems like he just doesn't really, I didn't see it. I didn't see it moving forward.
Yeah. You know, like you said, I was pretty hype about them reuniting. They were two of my OG Japanese favorites. Like, they were the two
same
OG Japanese favorites,
same,
to be honest with you. So, I was super hype about them coming back. Like you said, I let my fan brain take over for a little bit with them winning the tag titles, but to me, it would have been cool and made sense if they had done that. But like you said, I think something important to remember with Kenta is that in our hearts, especially as Noah fans, we think of Kenta as a Noah guy.
Yes.
But the Noah he was in is not the Noah now. You know, in terms of owners and different regimes and different people backstage, and there's been multiple changes, actually.
That's fair. It's very fair.
Yeah, and that's just me speculating right now. It's not like he's told me this. Although, Kenta, if you're listening, please contact me. I would love to have a conversation with you. But regardless of that, though, ultimately, it's a much different company than it was then. You know, and in every facet, some ways for the worse, some ways for the better. You know, but it's different, ultimately. And hopefully, I would love to see them again in some form or fashion, but maybe to him, he just is like, look, you know, I'm a New Japan guy right now. You know, even if in storyline, they've kind of portrayed him as kind of in between, but in this match, he was all Bullet Club again, so who's to say at the moment? And that's why I didn't like that match, actually, as much as Striga and some other people on the New Year's show, was because there was too much of, like, oh, Bullet Club, feuding partners, like, do they get along? Like, I wanted to see old-school Marukin, you know, and that. But I know a lot of people like that match, but I just – and
yeah,
I liked
it. It was good, but I'm with you. Yeah, it's
– yeah. Yeah, that's just my opinion on that. So, yeah, this wasn't anything worth writing home about. I just wanted to mention that about Marukin, but hopefully we get more Kojima and Sugiura as tag champions, at least, because they're very cool.
Yeah, they were funny, too.
Yeah, so we always enjoy them. Up next, we had a junior match between the promotions. Yohei represents Noah taking on El Desperado for New Japan, which I thought on paper You know, this is a strange matchup, an unexpected matchup in a lot of ways. But I thought they actually worked really well together. You know, definitely an upgrade from the tag match. Like, to me, this was the best match to this point pretty easily, I would say, overall. And I really liked Desperado's got a very good style to him. I think he's a good matchup for Yohei because he's a bigger junior heavyweight, Desperado is. And Yohei is much more of that flyer guy, like wild look, indie style type of dude. And Desperado was able to lock in some submissions, ground things up, hit some power moves like that Blue Thunder Bomb. Yeah. I thought that they worked really well together. I thought this was honestly like, I don't know if it's a top three match of the show, but it was one of the good ones. Like, you know, one of the better ones of the show, in my opinion.
No, I'm totally with you. I think, yeah, I would have it as a top three.
Yeah, I could see that totally.
Yeah, I thought that this was really good. Like, I like Desperado a lot. I think it's cool that he always seems to be the one that wants to wrestle guys outside of New Japan. He also had his, he yells Kasai when he does his, like, punch now.
Yeah.
And Kasai yells Desperado when he does it, if you watch any Freedoms. So they are just like, you know, they're best buds shouting each other out in the match. And, I thought it had a good finish, you know, and Yohei's drop kick is awesome. Like, anytime he, like, nails one of his drop kicks, it's a highlight for me. But yeah. Very, very solid junior heavyweight action that I, you know, definitely is, worth checking out.
I really liked the finish too, where he had the stretch muffler on, but Yohei pulled it into a pin. And, like, that was a really great near fall. Like, the crowd definitely got into that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a cheering show too, by the way. You know, it wasn't, yeah, there was a little bit of buzz to the show overall, and I thought that they got into that. But then he kept it on after he kicked out. He rolled right into the stretch muffler again and got the tap out. So, great job for Desperado. Then we had the junior mixed man or multi-man match rather, where you had Amakusa, the GHC champion, junior champion, Alejandro and Junta Miyawaki. So opponents at January 1st, now partners on this show, they team on to take New Japan's Master Wato, Tiger Mask, and Ryusuke Taguchi here. Now, this is going to be interesting because I don't know how familiar you are with Wato and Taguchi's tag team, so I'd really be interested to hear your thoughts on this one.
I haven't actually watched a ton of their tag matches because I, like, watch a lot of New Japan, and I watch – but I like cherry pick. I will admit I'm not watching the, you know, Super Junior Tag Tournament outside of, like, the finals.
You're telling me you skipped the tag
leagues? I skipped the tag leagues this year. But I am I'm a big Wato fan. Like, I think he is really good. I think that he actually would probably be a better fit in the Noah Junior Division because, as we've talked about before, the Noah Junior division has a lot of lucha influence now. Like, and I think Wato's strength would be leaning into his lucha roots. Like, I think Wato versus Junta or Wato versus Amakusa would be, like, fantastic, like, sort of that hybrid lucha style, fast pace, crazy dives. I, like, really think that he is, you know, I want to see him lean into that more. But I thought that this was a fun match just because of that interaction. And it was like a, you know, a fun kind of junior showcase, but nothing really crazy. But I do think, like, Wato is cool in that, you know, I would just want to see him lean into the lucha a little bit more. But I thought, you know, he's had some good matches this year. I thought the four-way he had at Wrestle Kingdom was, like, one of the best matches on the show. So, yeah, I thought this was fun because I'm definitely a Wato fan, so.
Oh, yeah, I think he's won some people over. I've been kind of singing his praises for the last year or two because I know, I mean, when he first came in, his debut was awful. You know?
Oh, like, yeah. That was bad.
Yeah, and I mean, his run in Mexico, I watched most of it, and he was really bad. Like, in Mexico, like, one of the worst on a large roster. Wow. And he really struggled there. So he comes back with this weird gimmick. You know, kind of a kung fu guy, like, you know, way to the grandmaster. He's a martial artist, but also he does lucha stuff, but also now he's with Tenzan, so he has to do Tenzan's power moves. And
it's a little weird, a lot of different elements combined.
Yeah, it's like, cause he was doing those martial arts style kicks when he came in, but then doing the fly, like his finishing move was like, you know, the Cancun Tornado, you know, or Sky Twister Press more accurately. And then you had like, him doing the Tenzan movie. So it's like, they're trying to get him to do all this different stuff. And I thought it really hurt his development. But the last year or so, now that he's kind of gotten away, like kind of streamlined his offense a little bit and streamlined his path. And he has improved a little bit, even in his look, I think is much less over the top blue now. It's still blue, yeah, but it's not as over the top as it used to be. And I think he's really grown and shown that, because as a young lion, he was like my guy. I was like, man, this guy has something.
Oh yeah. Back then, like, yeah, everyone, I mean, I remember watching, that was like when I first started really watching New Japan a lot, because he was a young lion in what, like 2015, 2016?
Yeah, somewhere around there. He's 16, 17, I think.
Yeah, he was like over. Like, oh, yeah. The fans were so into him, and he was such a good, like, fiery underdog babyface. And there were a lot of people that were like, he's going to be the next big, like, junior superstar. And, you know, he's still super young, so I'm not ruling out that he could be a junior ace one day. I honestly would like to see him work some actual luchadors.
Like, yeah, that would be cool.
Like, I know New Japan doesn't really have any you know, Mexican wrestlers on their roster right now outside of Titan.
Yep.
But maybe with Fantastica Mania, they get him in there with like Soberano or someone like that. Like that, I think that would blow people away. I would love to see him wrestle someone like that. Like maybe get Bandido back or bring in someone like that, because I think that would be a huge, huge showcase for him. I think he would really thrive in that sort of match.
And we saw at the Tokyo Dome, he still has what you can't teach to him, because they were rallying behind him, you know, in the Dome compared to Hiromu, who won the match. You know, he still has that connection with the fans. You know, I think it's something you can't really teach somebody, but he just has it. And like I said, there were some struggles, but he's really improved his game, and I really like what I've seen of him lately. I thought he should have won the title at the Dome, to be honest with you. I thought it would have been way more if he were the champion.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But, you know, we'll see what happens with him. I do hope that he gets a shot one day, because I really like what he's done. And he's done a great job improving from a really weird debut and stuff that wasn't there to make him look good. But I have to say, the one who really impressed me was Amakusa, as usual, with his great wrestling. And let's not forget Tiger Mask's own lucha background, with him being the Grand Prix winner in August last year.
Yeah.
We can see that as All Japan Junior Champion at the time as well. So he's a well-traveled veteran. And a Michinoku Pro guy as well, so he actually has legitimate stuff like that as well. But speaking of Michinoku Pro guys, Amakusa was like so good to me. I thought here in this match. Even Junta and Alejandro both did some cool things as well. It's like they both did dives to the floor, and then Amakusa did like an even better, like, Sky Twister version.
His dive is like my favorite dive in wrestling right now. He just, it's like, seems like he's going to die every time he does it. It's just so reckless and so scary, but like, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, and he got the pin. He pinned Tiger Mask with the Phoenix Flash. So I was happy with that. I thought he really put in a ton of effort here. And all the Noah Juniors, actually, all three really impressed, I would say. Tiger Mask was pretty solid here. I didn't think he was bad at all. Wato, I agree with you. He was the standout of his team. Taguchi, time to retire. I think on you, but that's only because I did watch the Junior Tag League. So if you haven't, I will let you enjoy Taguchi more.
Yeah, I heard. You know, I know people are down on Taguchi now. I'm starting to see, you know, a lot of people want him to just really cycle down. But you know,
he was my favorite. Like a long time ago. Well, not even that long ago, maybe 6 years ago or so. Even when he came back, I was actually really into him. I thought he was underrated, but now I think I've reached my limit of Taguchi.
It's weird because I think like him and like Dick Togo is in the same bucket too. Like,
oh yeah.
Dick Togo, if he wanted to be, is probably, like, no joke, a top five wrestler in New Japan.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, I'm going to be 2019 Dick Togo for a night. Taguchi is also, like, I don't know, I guess it's just, like, harder on your body and you don't want to put the effort in, but, like, what was the best of the Super Juniors that Will Ospreay won? Was it 2016?
Yeah, it has to be somewhere around
and
there.
And I think, like, Taguchi's was in the final, maybe? Like, Taguchi had a crazy run. And, like, even, you know, I guess this is almost, what, this is, like, 7 years ago at this point, where like people would be like, oh, it's serious Taguchi time, and he would go out there and still put on like really good matches. But now, like, you don't even get that. Like, so I see what you're saying, but it is sad to kind of see him devolve so much as a worker when he probably could still put on a good match if he really wanted to.
Yeah, and the first run, I thought he was really great. He reminded me a lot of Kanemoto, like the logical successor to him. Then he had a bad injury and was out for a long time. And he came back, and a lot of people, because that's when he started to, you know, do even more. He always was the funky weapon, after all, even back in those days.
Yeah.
But he added a little bit more comedy and stuff, and I think a lot of people kind of turned down, you know, soured on him. But I always really respected his work back then. He was honestly one of my favorites in the division before I think Hiromu probably came back from Mexico. He was, like, the best guy to me. And yeah, now I really think he's devolved a lot. That word is a great way to say it. But I was really impressed with Noah Jr. I think all three of them deserve a lot. You know, it's one of those things where I think all three of these guys would be great picks to be champion, but it's just Amakusa, it's his time right now. And I'm glad that they are going forward with him, because it did give us a match we'll talk about in the next show we're going to preview at the end. But yeah, pretty good match, actually, though. I thought it was good. Then we had the highlight of anything we're going to talk about on here. Kaito Kiyomiya teaming with Yoshiki Inamura representing Noah versus Kazuchika Okada and Togi Makabe. A shocking no contest finish here. The referee throws out the match because Kiyomiya was just too violent, too out of control, and the rage that he got from Okada ended up just forcing the match to be stopped. And this was so awesome. Like, this is one of the best things I've seen in wrestling in a long time. Obviously, as a match, it was so short. It was like 6 minutes or whatever, and they didn't really get going fully to what, you know, you would think they might be able to do. But as an angle, like as an overall spectacle and the presentation of it, this was not a home run. This was a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, you know, down by 3-2 count. It was so good. Like, you know, you can't script it. You know, I mean, it was planned out or whatever, but you couldn't have written it down and wished it to be any better than it came across. I thought this was phenomenal. This did so much more, in my opinion. Like, I know you said you loved the match last year, and it was a very, really good match overall in the ring. But I think this did so much more for both of these guys, actually, because we'll talk about Kaito in a second. But I think Okada, you know, I got messages from multiple people that were like, Okada needed this as much as Kaito.
Oh, yeah.
To see this out. And I totally agree with that. I think this did so much for both guys. It did way more than a regular match would have done. And I just, this was phenomenal. I thought it was so great.
Yeah, I mean, I had to, like, really, I watched it, like, three times because it's only 6.5 minutes. But, like, if you're just counting a match as, like, what happens in between the bells, like, the bell rings, a bunch of stuff happens and the bell rings, like, I would have to say that this is a 5-star match because I haven't been this, like, enthralled by what happened in a wrestling outside of a wrestling ring, you know, like in a long time. Like, it was just, and like you said with Okada, I kind of had said this last year. Okada is someone that I think he's very, I think my opinion is probably in the minority. I don't know if I'd consider him like the best of all time, like some folks do. I don't know if I consider him like the best in the world right now.
Well, I guess we're on that island together because I'm done.
Oh, okay, good. So I don't have to like be super, I don't have to be like I'm walking on eggshells here. Like I think he's very good, but I think what he wrestles to his opponent's level, like more consistently than any wrestler I think I've ever seen. Like
well, that's a great point.
Yeah. If his opponent is like not that great or is kind of boring or isn't going 100%, like, he just matches that, like, perfectly. Like, everyone hated the build to the Jay White match because Jay White put no effort in, so Okada put no effort in. The match was the typical kind of, I liked the Wrestle Kingdom match a lot. I thought it was, like, the best, it was the best, like, permutation of that sort of match. Like, I think they did what they wanted to do, like, almost perfectly. And I thought Okada finally started to show something a little different than just reflecting what Jay was showing to him, like with the Inoki influence with the all black gear. Like, he has an edge now that he hasn't had in his whole career, where he seems mean. He seems angry. But, you know, and while he's the champion and while he's the top dog, which is a really cool dynamic, because normally he's like sort of this, you know, cocky, arrogant, aloof, I'm the best, I'm the rainmaker. But last year, Kaito hit him harder than I think he's been hit in a while. Kaito was just elbowing him in the face.
Okada was having visions of Tenryu after that.
Yes.
Right there.
And Okada hit him back. And it was like, oh man, like this is like, I haven't seen Okada do this in a long time. And I think this was just that blown up times 100, where Kaito kicked him in the head. And Okada was like, I haven't felt that in a long time. So I'm going to match that energy. And then this is what we get. And I mean, I am going to just give this all to Kaito, because he's the one that got this out of Okada. No one else did, you know, like, cause Kaito is a prodigy and a wrestling genius and the best wrestler in the world. And however they thought this out, he said, listen, whoever put this together is like an absolute genius. Like, I don't know if it was, it was a Ghetto, it was an Osawa, who was it? I mean, they deserve their acknowledgement for being like, we're not going to do the regular 14-minute exhibition where, you know, Okada's going to pin Inamura with a Rainmaker and there'll be a little pushing and shoving. Kaito is going to boot him in the face and you're just going to go nuts for 5 minutes. And, I mean, look at what's happened. Like, everyone's talking about it. They're wrestling at the Tokyo Dome. Like you said, a total grand slam. One of the coolest things I've seen in wrestling in a while. And I'm just so happy that Kaito is the one that's, like, involved in it. And this is just a massive... massive opportunity for him, and he deserves it. And I'm really excited to see, you know, kind of where it goes.
I absolutely agree. And I just think that this was so great. Like you said, genius idea executed to perfection. I give both men a lot of props, but definitely Kaito, I really enjoyed. And it gives a new, fresh challenge for Okada as well. Because I regret to inform you, I've now jumped off the island that you were on and swam away in panic, as you said you liked that Jay White match as a Wrestle Kingdom. I cannot co-sign these statements.
I know that's a hot take, but I thought that that was... New Japan main events are very particular.
Yeah.
And especially Jay White main events. But I think, like, I try to judge a match on, like, did these guys achieve, like, what they kind of want to achieve? And how much did that resonate with me? And sometimes, you know, what someone wants to achieve, I'm like, I don't care, because, like, I just am not interested in your idea. Mm-hmm. But I think in this match, like, they – with Jay, I think they did a good job at, like, kind of making that sort of match. But I totally understand, like, people not liking it, because it is a very long, very slow, very plodding match.
Yes, with many, many flaws in Jay White's wrestling style that I dislike overall. But regardless of that, I think that, you know, Okada, I think the last year or so, he's really grown on me a little bit. Because I used to think he was like, I mean, the start of the show that I was on, probably the first year or so, I thought he was massively overrated. To be honest with you, I was not that big of a fan of his, period. And I think that as time has come along, I really think that he's grown on me, especially in the past year. They really went out last year at Wrestle Kingdom, and they really went in on this Inoki tribute act with him as well. And maybe it sparked something within him that I didn't think about, because I watched his G1 run, and he was with a lot of guys that, to me, were not people coming in with a lot of, you know, I wasn't super hype about a lot of his matches. Let's just put it that way. You know, with guys like Lance Archer, Jonah, and people like that.
Yeah.
Even Yano, I thought, was one of the better Yano matches. But I think he got the most out of pretty much everybody there. And I always say, compare the Tamatanga semifinal with Okada to the other match that happened before with Tamatanga and Jay White. And it's a world of difference. And I give Okada a lot of credit for that overall. So I have been into him more or less. I still think he suffered a lot character-wise, and that he just wasn't, you know, super outgoing and expressive. But here we saw that change, thanks to Kaito and what he did. And Kaito really brought another level to himself as well. And this was a totally old-school type of angle, like interpromotional angle, the likes of which we haven't really seen at this point. I think they did a lot of great things with the main event on the show, which we are going to talk about in the build-up to it. But I think in terms of pure heat and, like, heat between the wrestlers, it was so, like, realistic and great and awesome that I just I was all in on this whole thing after that. So I really enjoyed that. Not probably. It was by far the highlight of the show, in my, opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and definitely what a way to end the non-LIJ and Congo portion. Because this is what everybody was talking about at the show, even more so than the post-match of the main event, was this interaction. So congratulations to both Okada and Kiyomiya for doing great work there overall. We'll talk about a little bit on, you know, more so when we preview the card, what we got to say more beyond that. So then we got to the Congo and LIJ series, and we start off with the man we all wanted to see, Bushi, come out. He represents LIJ. And he took on Tadasuke of Congo. And Noah, at this point, if you're counting, like, the ratings or whatever, on the pre-show, it was 1-1 to New Japan and Noah. Then, obviously, you had that mixed match. But then you had New Japan get the win in the singles match with Yohei Desperado. You had the Noah Juniors beat the New Japan Juniors, so that's 2-2. And this other one was thrown out. So we're at a tie right now, you know, like 2-2-1.
Yeah.
At this point. And then Noah takes the lead, and Congo takes the lead over LIJ with a Tadasuke win. What'd you think of this match?
I like this match. Like, I thought Bushi, you know, he showed a little heat. He showed some venom in the beginning, which, like, you don't normally see from him. And, like, they busted their asses in, like, a really hard spot. Cause, like, everyone was still buzzing from the Kaito and Okada thing. And they, like, you know, that's a hard spot to go in because, like, you're just, no one's thinking about you. Like, people are checking their phones. People are, like, even commentary is talking about, oh, what's going on in the locker room, like, blah, blah, blah. But they really put in a lot of effort here, and I thought, like, it ended up being a really solid match. It's not, yeah, I wouldn't, you know, put it on my list or anything, but it was good. And I thought, you know, Bushi had a really cool, like, poison mist at the end. Yep. And the finish was, like, a little weird with, like, the roll-up from Tadasuke. I didn't think that that was the best finish I've seen, but I just thought that they, you know, they tried really hard, and I that came through to me. And so props to them for you know, kind of busting their butts in this spot. That was not an easy spot to be in.
No, this was a fine match, in all honesty. I didn't have any negative opinions on it, to be honest. I thought they worked decently hard. Bushi did hit a neck breaker onto the ring thing, the guardrail, whatever. He did the mist, as you said. The finish was a little wonky with the Tupac that Tadasuke locked in on Bushi, but overall, I'd say, I think on paper, you know, heading into this show, of the LIJ and Congo matches, this was the one I think you could point to that was like, like, there's nothing here, really. It's Bushi in a match, ultimately, and they had to overcome that. Like, it's a tough spot, but I think they had a pretty decent match overall. I definitely like Tadasuke's, you know, style overall. I thought he came out and looked like a star in his entrance as well. You know, they did a little bit of power spots. I like Tadasuke overall, so it was good. But Bushi's all right. Yeah. I don't hate him. It's just he's not very exciting, to say the least.
That's fair.
Yeah, so Noah ahead 3-2-1. The next match was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion of New Japan Pro Wrestling. The unrightful champion, if you listened to us earlier, claimed Wato should be the champion. But no, he's the champion here. He took on Congo's Hajime Ohara. And here, I did like, you know, because I've heard a lot of criticism of commentary on the show when I watched it, or when I saw the reactions on Twitter and everything. And I will say, one thing I did like here is that they did try to add a little bit to these matches, and this was a great example because they kind of tied it in where somebody had said, I don't know if it was Kelly or Charlton, but somebody was trying to make the point like, oh, you know, Ohara, like both these guys were in CMLL, but Ohara left when, and then Hiromu came in, which isn't necessarily true. There was like a multi-year difference, like gap. It was like 2 or 3 years, I think, when Ohara left when Hiromu came in. But I like that little trying to tie something together on ultimately is a completely random match, and they try to add a little bit to it here. So this match, they came in and Hiromu, he was really trying to gun for, go after O'Hara, but O'Hara was trying to do more of the, submission-based game, ground game, lucha-style type of stuff. They went on the outside again. We saw the guardrail come into play. Hiromu did his big moves. He hit the big, running Death Valley driver to the turnbuckle. Looked great, obviously. Hiromu was trying to sell a little bit, on his back, and that obviously set up for O'Hara to lock in the muy bien. And this is the part that really surprised me, was the crowd started to rally behind O'Hara, of all people, who in Noah is like, you know.
He's a jobber in Noah, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he had that, like, brief tag title run with Kondo, like, last year. But very, very brief. And like you said, this guy's probably, like, the ninth-ranked junior, like, overall.
Oh, yeah.
But the crowd really got into him here and rallied behind him, and Hiromu did get to the ropes on that, and it was a matter of time before he hit the time bomb for the win. And so overall, I thought the match was good. I was surprised by the reaction to O'Hara and Hiromu, because I thought in my mind Hiromu was like, I want to see this guy like get the biggest reaction on the show, in my mind. But we were kind of talking about it on the show because I brought up earlier the Dome. People were rallying behind Watto instead of him as well. I don't think he put in max effort here either to make this the best it can. I think maybe he wanted that Amakusa match, which we will talk about in a little bit that may be coming up on a later show.
Yep.
I don't think he put in his max effort. I also didn't really love – I did like how they tied them together, but early on they were really like, ugh. Hiromu's got this in the bag. You know, there's no way he'll lose this match, and stuff. But at the end, they were like, well, it turned out to be a heck of a match or whatever. So I thought this was an upgrade over the other match, but not anything special.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I kind of zone out during O'Hara matches at this point. We talked about it off the air, just like all the, stuff going on with him that it's.
Oh yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of people are like that. They don't want to watch it. I totally understand that as well.
Totally. But about the commentary, I do think that I really, I like Kevin and Chris. Like, I think they do a good job. I think that they called it how they should call it. They're New Japan commentators. That's their on-screen persona. So like. I didn't even think that they sounded biased, but even if they do, that's fine because they're New Japan employees. Like, you should be rooting for your guys. But Kevin made a whole bit about how if you're a wrestling fan, you want a Kongo sweep because you want this to continue and you don't want this to be the end. He wasn't saying like, oh, these Kongo geeks, like, get out of here. Like, he literally said that he's rooting. Like, wrestling fans should be rooting for Kongo to win every match. So, this continues into the future. So I thought they did a good job. And like you're saying, they tried to add some intrigue to this match, which, like you said, it was very, this was the easiest one to call, I think, because O'Hara is just a bottom feeder in Noah at this point.
And he's not getting set up for a title shot.
I kind of wish that it was Hiroki in this spot because he is one of my, like, underrated favorites. I like him a lot, and I think that he would do something much more interesting with Hiromu. I saw some people really love this match, but not for me.
I loved it, but
not you. I saw someone else on there.
Like I said, I totally understand all the allegations. I don't support that at all, overall, but just grading it as a match, I thought it was a well-done match for what it was. And I actually thought, like I said, I wish Hiromu had brought more of himself to the match. I think we could have seen more so than anything wrong with the work itself. The only thing I had problem, I agree with you about the commentary in general. I think that they, if the Noah commentators were on, if Mark and Stu were commentating this, I would want them to rally behind the Noah guys and say that,
you got to keep kayfabe, you're an employee of the company. You should be acting like you want your company to do well. So,
the Noah guys
have their cut is going to be on Wrestle Universe in a few days. So I'm definitely going to watch it with their commentary too.
Yeah, the only problem I think I had on the show, well, again, I thought they went a little heavy-handed. We're like, ah, oh, Hiromu's definitely winning this. You know, pretty much. It's like, we know it's a one-sided match. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Right? But the only problem I really had with the show was during that Okada angle, like, it was such a, like, cold like commentary to it. It was like, oh, Kaito's about to get choked out. It's going to be embarrassing if that happens, won't it? Whereas, yeah. if the Noah guys were there, they'd be like really hype about this, like holy crap, what's going on? You know, like these guys are fighting, they can't be stopped, like, you know, that type of thing. Like Kaito can't control his emotions, get him or something like that. I want to see some hype for that, like, super fiery and hot angle. And I thought they played it a little too cold to me on that. You know, I thought there was a little,
yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
yeah, that was really my only criticism, though. Otherwise, I agree with you. I think that I did a mostly a good job on the show. Just some minor critiques on my part. But anyway, at this point, New Japan ties it up with Hiromu getting the win. I think we all anticipated that anyway. So even that's like a very minor criticism. But we go into the next match with Sonata representing LIJ and New Japan. He took on Manabu Soya of Kongo and Noah here. And again, they mentioned these two were former partners back in All Japan. Yep. And Wrestle One as well. They shared a ring with many times. Soya, as GM, constantly tried to screw Kai and favor Sonata when that happened. Not the original, because the original one was like 2005, but the original 2013 version of Wrestle One, Soya GM days, and he was always screwing over Kai to favor Sonata. But I like that again. They brought some good history between them. And this was a match where, you know, I was looking at the card and they had tied it up at this point. I was really thinking that they were going to want to even the odds here. And this was the match that I think was the most up in the air of the five LIJ and Kongo matches. And it ended up that Soya got the win here, going in there. And, just with a simple lariat, you know, really good stuff. You know, there were some big moves that, you know, Sonata did all of his stuff. He had the TKO, the Skull End, stuff like that. The crowd really got behind Sonata here more than Soya, though, in the match, I felt. He did a little bit more exciting moves. Soya was kind of your powerhouse type of dude, and it worked out really well. I thought this match was actually a little bit better than I thought it would be going into it. I thought it was a pretty solid match. Again, a step up from the Bushi and Tadasuke match, I would say.
Yeah, my note literally says pretty solid. So I think we're on the same page here. This is a huge win for Manabu Soya. Because
his biggest since he came to Noah.
His biggest in years. He's like just a total jobber in Noah. I mean, on the Noah Discord, shout out Mitch, he has like a tracker of like who's jobbed the most in Noah in 2022. And it was really between Manabu Soya and Daiki Inaba. And, I mean, Soya gets pinned. He was just the pin eater in every match for Noah for essentially a full calendar year. And to see him get a win like this is really, you know, it's nice. It's I know he's challenging for the national title, so they want to heat him up. And that sort of made this where I was like, maybe, you know, it would be weird for them to set up a title match and then job him out right before it. So this was like, I'm surprised that they managed to convince me, because Sonata's a pretty big deal, you know? It's not like this is a lower-end guy on their roster. Like, I know he's not a champion or anything, but he's still, like, a popular guy. So it was nice to see him get a big win, to see Soya get that win. And, yeah, I thought it was a solid match. Picked up near the end. I thought it had a cool finish. But solid, nothing exceptional, but definitely cool to see Manabu Soya get that pinfall.
Yeah, very unexpected. Like you said, one of the biggest wins of, like you said, many years, even before he came to Noah. So,
yeah,
good for him. You know, I like I said, the match was, like you said, solid. Nothing, you know, that we'll be looking back on as a legendary classic or anything. But a good win. Hopefully, so he can get a little bit of something to do, just to make him mean a little bit more in the future, at least. So that led to the fourth match of the trial series here, as Noah took the lead once again. And that all but signified what was about to happen in the next two matches, the way it happened, yep. Which I did predict almost to the T on the show. The only one I got wrong was the tag match with Kaito and Okada.
Wow.
on there. So, and I think the junior match, I kind of went flip-flopped on the junior trios match as well. So if you want to count that against me, go ahead. But otherwise, this played out nearly exactly as I expected, as we had Shingo facing Nakajima. And now this was a really good match. My only problem with it, and like I said, they worked well together, but I think that I just didn't, there was something about this that was missing to me to make this like a really great match that I really wanted to see. And I think maybe it was just because in my heart, there was no possible way Nakajima was winning this match, in my opinion. I would have been completely flabbergasted if that had happened. And I just see these guys, you see Nakajima, something about him to me doesn't work as well as the underdog type of guy. You know, like he's better off being the top guy, the aggressor, you know, so to speak. And he had a little bit here, but I think there was too much of Shingo kind of taking a lot of the match, in my opinion. But it was still, like, keep in mind, this is still a really good match and the best match of the show, in my opinion, pretty easily, just as a match. Obviously, the angle with Okada and Kaito, if you want to clout that as a match, yeah, that's the match of the show. Yeah. But otherwise, this would be the best match of the show. I did think that it could have been a little bit better if we could get to a point where, you know, they face again and things are a little bit more even and not a part of the series, I think. They could have something that's really, really memorable. But to me, this was not a match of the year level match. It was just a really great match. I'm happy I watched it. I would definitely recommend it. But I do think that they could do even better if they had another match.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think for a match where the outcome is, you know, it's not guaranteed, but it's very predictable. Like that, this kind of hit that ceiling of a match where you just kind of, we knew Shingo was going to win this. He has his title match coming up. He's not going to get pinned by Nakajima. They already did the no contest earlier in the night. So we're not going to get another draw or, you know, a DQ or something. With that being said, I do think like you said, this was a really, really solid match. I thought it had a great pace. Shingo's selling was fantastic. Selling the ribs, you know, he was outside
that was the best part of the match.
Oh yeah. He was killing it there. And the striking was great too. Nakajima is always good in that regard. And this was like the match that I think a lot of people were clamoring for, you know, when they first announced this whole idea at the end of 2021, everyone wanted a match like this, a high end singles match between two of the biggest stars in either company. And this delivered in that, you know, sense of it. But like you're saying, I think just having this sort of, you know, predictable outcome hurt it, and prevented it from getting to that high of a level. But overall, I'm totally with you. I think that this was a really good match that definitely check it out if you haven't seen it. They worked really hard. And I think that this was probably the match of the night for me outside of the Okada Kaito deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I another thing, I saw this comment on Cage Match, and I agree with it, and I want to bring it up. You know, because when Shingo started to turn the tables, that, again, to me, was really where the match kind of lost something from the early going when Nakajima was on top. I thought he was great. Like I said, Shingo selling, that's a great point on your part. I shouldn't leave out Shingo, because he was awesome working from under, actually. When Shingo started to take over, a lot of the stuff that they did was, like, his moves that, unfortunately, have never, like, they're, like it was not a cage match, they're so unprotected as finishers that there was not really any drama in them. You know, you were waiting for him to hit the big one to finally win. And, yeah, and I thought, but still, though, I think definitely on this show needed a step-up match in terms of match quality. Obviously, like, the show could have just faded to black after the Okada and Kaito thing, and it would have been, we'd all still be talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
But from a match quality perspective, I think we needed a little bit of an upgrade. I think this was definitely good enough to give us that, but I still think that they could do better in the future, in my opinion. But maybe that'll never happen. Like you said, last year they had a lot of buzz coming off of the last year's show, these pairings. So I'm happy that they gave us to us. And I'm happy we got this match. You know, it wasn't at that tip top level. I'm still happy we got them. And so we got to the main event. Naito, Tetsuya Naito representing Los Gobernables de Japón. He took on Kenno from Congo, the two leaders of the factions in the main event, as it should be. And I will say this, because I think the match itself, it's hard not to call it a disappointment, considering the awesome build that they put so much work into.
Yeah.
Particularly Kenno, I thought, did a ton of great work making this match interesting. And like I said, what you kind of alluded to early on, this seemed like something that they kind of just pulled out, you know, throw it together, and this is where we're at now. But by the time this match actually happened, from January 4th to now, this felt like a totally great feud in, you know, ending match because of the great work that they've done, especially Kenno. So the match itself, I did think that it was not a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. It was a good match, like a solid match, I would say. But I think for a main event and for these guys, and because of the build-up, I think it kind of worked against them because the match they gave us didn't really match that. It's kind of like we just kind of worked into that New Japan Naito style, and Kenno was there. You know, they did a lot of their regular stuff. There was nothing that was particularly special about the in-ring work. I would say the best part of it came towards the end because I think the crowd kind of sensed a draw may have been coming, which was pretty interesting. Yeah. They still – that's a that point of Noah, because they could have easily been like, oh, well, New Japan's definitely going to win this rivalry. But they respected Noah enough to really believe in a draw. So I think that really helped the last few minutes of this match.
Yeah.
And obviously it came in to where Naito getting the win at the end. Pretty expected. We'll talk about the aftermath in a little bit, but what'd you think of the match overall?
I'm with you. I mean, I think I was expecting a lot because I am a huge fan of Tetsuya Naito. I'm a very big fan of Kenno. And I don't know if I'd say like disappointment, but I definitely say like underwhelmed. Because it just never hit into like a higher gear. It was a really solid match that they just didn't gel. They gel better at like in a promo battle, like in a when Naito went to the show and he was with the t-shirt and everything. Like that was almost more entertaining than their actual match.
Yeah.
It's unusual, but you know, I think it just happens sometimes.
It would have been more entertaining if he got arrested, like Kenno.
Yeah, because he wasn't wearing a mask and everything. And they're both like masters at that sort of like shit talking, promo, get people hyped for what you're gonna do. But sometimes, you know, like I said, I think Naito is one of the best of all time. But for example, him and Minoru Suzuki, their matches suck, and it doesn't really make sense because Suzuki is great. Naito is great. You think you put them together and you get a great match, but sometimes guys just don't gel. And I think that's sort of what we have here. Like this match should have been so much better. Like I really was expecting like a 4¾ star like match of the year candidate because the hype was so intense and their personalities are so opposite and it was such a cool setup. And even when they were coming down to the ring with obviously, Naito always takes his time, but he was taking extra time, and Kenno is yelling at him, and I was like, this
yeah.
is gonna be great. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. And then the match was over, and I was like, oh, that was fine. Like, that was, like, 4 stars for me is, like, my good match that I want to take note of. You know, it's, like, a solid match, but I'll probably have, like, 200 matches at 4 stars this year, and this is like a 4-star match for me. It was like good. It was fine. It was entertaining, but it wasn't like what I was expecting. And I think sometimes it just happens. You get two guys that you think should be able to do something really special and they just don't do it. And you know, just is what it is.
You have to wonder if maybe Naito's mind may have been on another match.
It's possible.
Well,
yeah.
Coming in there. But I think that, what did you think of Kenno's hair? In the match.
I like his approach. So, like, a lot of wrestlers will have big match gear where, you know, Minoru Suzuki will wear all white in a big match, or, you know, Desperado does it where he'll wear a special mask and face paint. I like how Kenno's big match approach is just, like, part my hair differently. Like, slick it back or part it in the middle, and you look like a totally different person, so I like that that's part of his, you know, big match deal.
Absolutely. I think we need more big match hair. as time goes along in wrestling. Much like a big match Top Hat, which I called out on Twitter, which we will talk about. I can get on a match on the later show that I definitely support. But after all this, we had Naito gave the crowd closing promo, talking about L.I.J., thanked Kongo, said that he'd be happy to meet him again. And then Keiji Muto gets into the ring, and he challenges Naito to be his final match at the Tokyo Dome. And Naito, he made sure to let us know he will clear his schedule for this. So I'm glad he didn't have anything better to do on that day. He will now main event the show with Keiji Muto at probably the biggest Tokyo Dome show in years and years in drawing. So, Naito versus Muto. What do you think of this choice as Muto's last match?
Personally, I like it a lot just because I'm a big fan of Tetsuya Naito. He's my favorite wrestler in New Japan. He's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. It means a lot to him. I've been reading some stuff and saw some stuff on Twitter. Like he's known for being like a super wrestling nerd, but like specifically a New Japan pro wrestling nerd. Like I don't know if you've seen like promos, like I think during like the Jericho match, he was like, oh, I remember Jericho from like Best of the Super Juniors, whatever. Like he only thinks about New Japan. Like that's how he views pro wrestling. And so obviously Keiji Muto means so much to New Japan. And so I think it's a really huge opportunity for him. And, you know, he doesn't need it. He's the most popular wrestler in Japan probably right now. And he's still this superstar in New Japan. And in the grand scheme of things where I'm someone who is a Noah fan, thinking about how does this impact their business? How does this impact them as a company? Who looks good? Who looks bad? I think that this is it's a perfectly fine choice because you want to get a lot of people in the building. It's a nice send off for Keiji Muto. I mean, I think the match itself, I think could be pretty good as someone who has a pretty high tolerance for Keiji Muto matches. And I'm very entertained by him. I think he calls himself wrestling genius for a reason. I think they'll come up with something smart. They'll come up with something captivating. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, would I have liked it to be, you know, Kiyomi getting one more win and Muto raises his arm and it's a big deal for Noah? Yeah, of course. But I think that in this situation, it's a perfectly suitable match for the occasion. And I think that it will be something that, you know, these are two of the most charismatic wrestlers in Japanese wrestling history. That's like, you know, we saw with the Nakamura match. You get two guys like that, you give them like 15 minutes. Like it'll be entertaining just because of their energy and their aura and their charisma. And I'm thinking they'll probably do something similar in this situation, and overall I'm pretty happy with it because I think it's just going to be a huge show for Noah. It's going to be a huge occasion, and I'm happy for Naito to get like such a big spotlight, you know, facing someone who's like his idol in their retirement match.
You absolutely have to consider this a like huge win for Tetsuya Naito, obviously, to get this special match. Like you said, wrestling nerd. I mean, his nickname is the Stardust Genius, which obviously is played off of Muto. And yeah. I think it's something where I really didn't even think about him that much. But in hindsight, it makes perfect sense, actually. You know, like, they're so, you know, equally aligned in terms of what Muto means to Naito. Naito being somewhat of a follow-up to Muto's character and the Muto lineage, so to speak. And obviously, like you said, one of the biggest stars, you know, in terms of popularity in Japan. He might be the top biggest star. You know, you can easily make that argument. So I think it's a great choice, honestly. The match itself, again, you're probably more, you know, more of a fan of Muto at this point than me.
Yeah.
But I can get by with these spectacle type of matches. Again, there might not be my favorite or anything, but I can be okay with them, more or less, especially something like this, which is clearly a business decision and I think overall a very good one. I'm very interested to see how the match ends in terms of who wins, because I'm not convinced Muto doesn't just win this, to be honest with you. And I had been thinking about Okada possibly being the guy, because I think that was the match that would be bigger than Nakamura, which is kind of my thinking. Yeah. And that's the problem with this. As I saw some people say, oh, maybe it'll just be, I think we may have even addressed this, actually. Oh, it might just be a multi-man tag, like Kobashi's retirement. And to me, they weren't going to go into the Tokyo Dome with that. Like, it would have to be a major match to try it. Like, they want to sell this show out. There's no question in my mind of that. And I think it's a very strong possibility that that happens, to be quite honest with you.
But I think what I'm kind of, like, confused by is, why would New Japan agree? Like, it's just kind of unusual, right? Like, why are they loaning out their biggest star to, you know, Noah's not a real rival at this point.
Yeah.
They're so far behind. I mean, maybe it just means so much to Naito that he, like, really pushed for it. But this is probably going to be the biggest show of 2023. I think it's going to smash the Wrestle Kingdom gate.
Yeah, I would be.
I guess maybe, yeah, New Japan can say, oh, it was our guy that did it anyway, so maybe they save some face.
And then we have the title match that we were going to talk about as well, which we're, you know, we can talk about and see what happens there. There could be all kinds of dealings we're not really privy to right now, and maybe it'll make more sense.
That's true.
After the show ends, when you look at the title matches they have, or not the title matches, but the champions matches they have. And I could easily see that being the case where maybe they wanted Okada, but they didn't want Okada to lose. And the reason why I didn't think about Naito is because he's done basically nothing in New Japan. Where regardless of his popularity, he really hasn't been a main player at all the last year or so in New Japan. So he's a guy that him losing doesn't really affect him. He's not going to be less popular if he loses. And even if he wins, like you said, it's not like this makes him or anything like that. He's already at the top level, you know. It would be special if he did. Great win for him. I wouldn't be – it's not like I'm against it or anything. But I just wonder if that didn't have something to do with it, why we ended up this way. But regardless of how we got here, I do think this – with how things played out, and we're going to go – you know, we'll talk about the card after we go over this next show. But I think with how things played out, they did a great job. Like you know, with this card, and I think that they did a fantastic job. This is a great main event to have in the Dome. I think it's definitely a Dome main event-worthy match. It's not somebody you think, again, like if they had done some multi-man match, I think that would have been a bit of a disappointment, personally, and I don't think it would have been the right business decision either, for the Dome. So with this, you get a true major match and something that everyone will be excited about, and two guys who I think everyone would say is a legend, and if he's not already a legend, will be a legend in Naito. So I'm into this. I think the story makes sense. Like I said, in hindsight, I didn't even think of him just because Naito hasn't been doing a lot lately. But in hindsight, this is a perfect match, I say. And I think that they did a great job.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that there's still a really good chance that – I mean, because they've only wrestled once before in a singles match at Wrestle Kingdom, and Muto won that. I do think Naito will probably win this, but he'll just, like, slip out of the ring after the win. And there'll be a celebration for Keiji Muto. They'll add the roster, you know, the people on the card will come out. There'll be confetti or something, like streamers, whatever, what have you. I wouldn't rule out Naito winning because I don't
rule it out at all.
Regardless of what kind of happens, I think it'll be a good match. And I mean, maybe you're right. There is a chance that Muto could, as we saw on, you know, the Great Muta show, like maybe he's just been like, hey, I want to go out on top. And I want to beat the biggest star in Japan. He's an amazing, you know, politicker when it comes to that sort of stuff. So maybe that's what they squared away. But we could get more into it when we talk about the card, because I do think you're on to something. Like, this definitely plays into what's going to happen in the semi-main event with Okada and Kiyomiya. Maybe there was some sort of horse trading there where, you know, hey, Naito, you can close out this big show and you'll beat Muto, but Okada is going to have to lay down for Kiyomiya to continue that program. So could go either way, but I think it's a great choice overall.
Yeah, I think overall, like you said, whatever happens with the main events, I'm not saying that Muto's definitely going to win. I'm saying I think it's definitely a possibility that he wins.
It's always a possibility.
Yeah, because I think, you know, in normal brain, you think, oh, well, Naito's just going to win and get it in there. But the way this played out, it's going to be interesting. Like, we can talk about it going forward, like you said. But we do have another show to talk about. Great Muta final bye-bye. Noah's venture into Yokohama Arena, which was much more successful than the first one from a attendance standpoint, with 8,433 people, which is even more than the New Japan and Noah show last year as well.
Yep.
So, this show, I'm going to be honest, I was actually more hyped for some of this, for most of this, than the first show, just on paper, because you had both Thatcher versus Mochizuki and Sakuraba versus Hideki, which that sold. You know, like I said, as soon as they announced I'm ready. Sting in the main event. Sting is my guy. Like, one of my top inspirations. Like, seeing him in the main event is awesome. In Noah, of all places, you get Jungle Kiona back in Japan. I was super hyped about that. I was into this whole thing. That was my feelings going into it. But, for you, what was your kind of look at this? Was it just like, oh, this will be a nice kind of Muta tribute type of show? Or were you hype as I was?
Yeah, so I'm in agreement. I think that as a Noah fan, first and foremost, I was excited for this card because it's more of a Noah showcase. And I knew that it was going to be a big crowd. And I thought the undercard was a good kind of, you know, opportunity for the whole roster to kind of get a little shine and get different folks in there. So I was excited for this. I knew that it wasn't going to be like a comparable to the previous night on like a work rate perspective, but I thought like on a spectacle perspective that this was going to be really exciting, especially with the main event.
Oh yeah. The main event was like completely nuts overall on paper. And we will talk about that in a little bit. But let's run through this card quickly. Like I said, not a lot of, definitely not even just in terms of work rate, but I think meaningful
matches.
This was much lower than the first show. But for me, like to me, the work rate on this show, I was more hype about the match. And it started off with O'Hara and Hiroki taking on Kotage and Yoshioka. And I love Kotage and Yoshioka. I thought O'Hara had a good performance on the last show. And Hiroki's always enjoyable, but ultimately this was just a so-so opener. I would say like nothing special about it.
Yeah, I mean I like Hiroki a lot. I'm excited to see him get a win. It's not that common. He's usually laying down in these sorts of matches, so it's cool to see him get a pin. But fun way to start.
Yeah, you know, Kotage, I was very disappointed that didn't get a big spot on the first show, in my opinion. Because last year, he actually got a singles match, and it was a horrible one against Sho. I was hoping they would give him something a little bit better this year, but instead, this is what they give us. It was called, also, I would like to shout out Puro Love right now, because they did post the pre-match titles on this show. Thank you. This one was noted, Welcome to Bye Bye, the name of this match, which was, I mean, welcome to the show, pretty much.
Right.
I do wish Yoshioka would get something more, because I love him very, very, very much.
Yeah.
The next match, who is the Valkyrie? I don't know if that was determined in this match, actually, but it was Maya Yukihi and Sumire Natsu taking on Sari Ano, the Ice Cross Infinity Champion of Ice Ribbon. Ice Ribbon getting some love here on the show, teaming with Jungle Kiona, who won the match with my move, the Mexican Stretch Buster.
Yep.
Also known as the Jungle Buster. I put you up on this months ago. I think probably our first episode when we were talking about my wrestling.
Yeah.
And you had not, I don't know if you had seen this move beforehand. So what did you think seeing it in action in the first match?
It was brutal.
It was awesome.
And they cut to Muhammad Yone because he does like a muscle buster, but his is not nearly as, he kind of like lays down. Yeah. He like lays backwards. This is like really nasty.
Yeah, this was like a real Kaneko Buster. Like a Kaneko Man. So yes, this is the first move I ever did in my wrestling career. Was this move? It hurt my shoulder.
It's a way to start. It's a great way to start.
It shows you why I might not have advanced much beyond the public access days. I hurt my shoulder very much. But she did great here. Scored the win over Natsu. And Joe Kiona, can we talk about the pre-match entrance attire? The cane, the top hat. Where did this? Because she had never worn anything like this in Stardom. Now she's finally back of the infernal pit of horrendous pro wrestling known as the U.S. indie scene. Now she can have matches with good wrestlers again. So I'm so happy to see this now that she's back. And I thought this match was honestly – I'm not going to sit here and say it was just a great match or anything. But I think everybody tried pretty hard. This is probably the biggest show of all of these girls' careers at this point. Natsu was super motivated for the character work. I would say she did a lot of the charisma and all that stuff. And Yukihi and Ano are like effortlessly charismatic to where they just jump off the screen. And Kiona was like the work rate person in the match, even though she's not quite where she was, where she was like one of the absolute best before she took her break. But she still looked good here. I thought everybody looked good in the match well enough. But I thought it was, like I said, as a pure wrestling match, it's not going to be anything that, you know, forces me to reconsider my match in the year list. But for the novelty of it, I thought it was a really good match. I'm glad we saw this match on the show, and I thought it was one of the better ones on the show. Probably my second or third favorite match on the show, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Joshi fan. Like, I don't really know a lot about it, but I think that this was – I was, like, blown away by how good this was. I was going to ask you, like, who would you tag as, like, the best worker in this match? Because Ano was the one that stood out to me, like, by far. Like, I think that she looked fantastic.
I think Ano, and again, I think if it had been before, I would have said Jungle. But right now, she's not as good as she was before. She's still getting her way in there. I think she will reach that again. But yeah, Ano is the best overall talent, I would say, of these four. Which, you know, she is the Ice Cross Infinity Champion right now. I would say just overall everything, she would be the one I would pick right now. But I do think Kiona, if she sticks at this one day, she's going to really blow everybody away and get back to that level as she used to be. But Yukihi is also a very good talent overall. She's a former Ice Cross Infinity Champion as well as somebody doing stuff in Stardom. I think they're setting up a match with her and Julia in the future, which should be.
Okay. Did you see what Jungle said afterwards? That she's
participating,
like for a GHC women's title?
Well, on one hand, I'm all for this for the reason that I think it would add some great variety to the Noah cards if they did something like that. And listen, if one of these girls are the ace of the division and we get more matches with this collection of people and maybe some bring in some other people, some freelancers and stuff like that, and the Joshi freelance scene is very strong. So you're going to get a lot of different talents, and you can bring in people from all over, different companies. Some of the smaller companies, like your Pure J's, you can bring in, you know, Akari, Hanako Nakamori, Sendai Girls, you got Chihiro Hashimoto, Mika Iwata, Marvelous, you get Takumi Aroha at some point, Wave, you get Kohaku, oh man, I would love that, if that happened. Sakura Hirota, if you want to do a comedy match at some point, but there's a lot of different people you can bring in that are outside of the Stardom realm of Joshi. And you can kind of maximize this talent, maybe put in some of these people, and also put in some of these people and have them wrestle some of the Tokyo Joshi Pro women.
Yeah.
You know, then you could get – I think that would be great for them as well, because now you have an opportunity to wrestle different people that you might not have seen in Tokyo Joshi Pro on their own, and you get to see them wrestle maybe a – if you could formulate maybe a different house style in the GHC women's division to the Tokyo Joshi Pro style, I think that would benefit all the wrestlers in Tokyo Joshi Pro as well. So on that level, I really like it. I do think it might be a little bit of a tough look because now it's – I think immediately the first thing we'll see is – oh, well, New Japan just brought in this IWGP women's title, so now Noah's doing this their own version.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, that's the main issue that I would have with it.
I mean, I don't think that Cyberfight is hesitant to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they renamed the Global League the N1, like, a year, you know, like, that's right after they took ownership. Like, we're going to be the N1 now. So I think, like, It is interesting too, because I know All Japan's doing the Evolution Girls, and obviously New Japan's doing their more focused effort when it comes to women's wrestling too. I would really like to see it, because I do think you're right. It would add a nice fresh dimension to the undercards, and who knows like how big it could get. You know, Cyber Fight has a lot of stake. They spend a lot of money on Noah and they want it to pay off. And if that's another demographic of fans that you can cater to and you can get to go to your shows, I'd be totally on board. Like, this was a really great match. I would definitely be interested in seeing who they would bring in and, you know, maybe kind of have them work that Noah style where the focus is on, you know, hard hitting, mat work, you know, striking. Like, I would totally be on board with that. So I think it's, you know, who knows if it'll actually happen, but I would totally like to see it happen this year.
Intriguingly, all those people I mentioned would excel in that specific style, which is why they are my favorites, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
On there. So, yeah, if they wanted to do that, there's a ton of talent. And we already see them working with Ano, the Ice Ribbon champion. Maybe that can give a little bit of boost to Ice Ribbon, too, if you get some of their people on to the Wrestling Universe family. I think that would be really cool as well. And I think that a lot of people would be impressed, because I think there's a lot of people that, for whatever reason, it's not like this nefarious thing, like I refuse to watch Joshi Pro Wrestling. I think it's just something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes with so much wrestling to some people.
Yeah.
I
have a hard time catching up with everything. I do want to watch more this year. What about Seedling? Is that Seedling? I've been told that they're like pretty similar to Noah and like their style sort of. Is that?
Yeah, bring in Arisa Nakajima. You know, like that's what we need right now in Noah. I mean, yeah, they have a lot of great talent. They're another one where their actual roster is like four or five people. It's like Nakajima, Yoshiko. Like I said, I think Riko is there. But you know, so you've got it's like a handful of people, literally. And then they just bring in a lot of outsiders, like Asuka, all caps, could be in this.
Nice.
To bring in there, yeah, like. Bring in everybody. Like, Seedling's a great base to start with. Like, bring in all the Seedling people and, like, let them do stuff in there. I think you'll get a lot of great things out of it. But I do think there's a lot of massive upside. But yeah, Seedling definitely is, like, the hard hitting, of everybody, I would say, at this point. Unfortunately, Nanae left, and, she was pretty great, and she's doing her hard hitting thing in Stardom and being awesome. Now, and everybody who doubted her looks foolish. Now, and who started off talking bad about her, where are you now, Nanae haters? That's what I would say after watching her and Yu's, tag team, in Stardom. So, yeah, like, a lot of great upside if they do that, but we'll see. Like I said, we don't know if it's going to happen or anything. It's just something that she mentioned. I think it's a great idea. I think Kiona as the ace of the division and wrestling all these different styles of people, I could totally get behind that, to be honest with you. But all of these girls, I think, did good in the match as well in their own way. The next match was Masaki Mochizuki from Dragon Gate taking on Timothy Thatcher. And then we talked about this off the air. There were two matches, I was pretty hyped about the Joshi match we just talked about, but the two matches that grabbed me the most, this was one of them, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this.
I really liked this. This is one of the three matches that I, like, would, you know, take note of. I thought Thatcher is, like, getting over more and more with the crowd. Like, they're responding to, like, even his, like, facial expressions and... Because he's very stoic, and then he shows that sort of, like, angry, evil face with, you know, he's, like, really just bringing it to Mochizuki. And I like how Mochi sort of focused the leg, and then Thatcher sort of focused the arm. And it was a really cool dynamic, pretty short, compact match. But this was everything you could have wanted out of a match, you know, in this position on the card with these two guys and the amount of time that they were given. I'm totally with you. I thought that this was one of the better matches on the night.
You know, it's interesting because when this match ended, I was like, yeah, that was a really good match. But as the show went along and then we saw the other match, I personally enjoyed the other kind of match of the style more than this one. So I'm going to give this some time and watch this on its own because I think I was more hyped for the other match by the end.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so I want to watch this on its own because I think I may have, like, done it an injustice in my mind Because this was a really good match, ultimately. And these guys worked really well together. I think Thatcher, I totally agree with what you were saying, though. He is really getting there, like, with his style, what he's doing in Noah. I think we saw, I mean, his match versus Kaito was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, their title match. But it did feel like maybe the fans weren't quite ready for Thatcher in that main event yet. Wait, when it happened, just the fans? Not me. I was fully ready because I love that match a lot. And I love him, and he's like one of my favorites ever, pretty much. So I'm always happy to watch him wrestle. For me personally, I don't care what the fans think. I will always love Thatcher, no matter what.
Same.
But I think that you're onto something, though. I think he's a guy that you look at, and it's like, hey, people are starting to really warm up to him. And I think he's another guy that, you know, because people talked about before, and like, oh, Jack Morris is getting like more over than Thatcher. I think it's going to be interesting to look at all of the foreign talent that Noah has right now. Take a look at them in a few months and maybe the end of the year. I think Thatcher could be that guy that really rises up into the fans' eyes and become a favorite if he sticks around. But he's really good. This match didn't quite grab me as much as I thought it would and I hoped it would. But that's more compared to the other match than anything wrong with it, per se, because it was really good, like I said. And I definitely recommend it to everybody. And how could you not? I mean, what a great pair these two.
Yeah. I mean, two real veterans, like, just working a very smart, very tight match. But I'm with you. I want to see Thatcher have a great run this year. I want to see him get his, you know, N1 spot that he was sort of robbed of last year with the visa issue. He's my favorite. I mean, I like Wagner a lot too. I think Wagner's improving just every show. I think Wagner looks a little bit better. But if I'm looking at, you know, international talent on the roster to get a national title run, or I know we both loved his team with Hideki. Like, I want to see them do something important with him. He's just a phenomenal talent that I would really want to see succeed this year.
I so 1,000,000% agree with you. And I still think that they had so much left in the tank with that team that they could easily go back to it, and I would be just as hyped.
Yeah, I hope they do.
Yeah, me too. I totally agree. But now we get to the match that I hated most on the card.
Yeah.
Alejandro Junta Miyawaki and Yasutaka Yano versus Eita Nasara Ragai and Yoshinori Ogawa. I said my piece on their match at the January 1st show. But
yes.
How many ways can I say I hate Stinger? You know, I don't know how many ways I can say, but I feel like there needs to be more ways to be said. And now that Nosawa's in there, it has not improved my interest in this group at all, I would say. So, yeah, I didn't think this was any good either, to be honest with you. And it was much more of their style of match. And I, on one hand, I personally didn't enjoy it, but on the other hand, it's clearly just somebody getting their rocks off. And at least somebody had fun with this, at least, you know, at least this style, the mask, the dirty, the haircut and all that, we're getting somewhere that Nosawa enjoys. It's supposedly his last month in this business as a wrestler. Let him have his fun on the way out. That's as nice as I can be about this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I had a smile on my face for most of this match, I think. Cause like the dynamic is so stupid between Eita is like him and Nosawa are buddies, but like Ogawa, like they doesn't like either of them, like sort of wants to be there, but doesn't. And then, you know, the lucha brawling and then Nosawa at the end with the scissors. I was laughing at that. He cuts Junta's hair and then he's just like shrugging. He's like, I don't know, you know, why not? It doesn't make any sense. I think it's just like, just don't think about it. Just imagine it's like some random like lucha show. It's like an IWRG, you know, sort of match. And then, that's like kind of how I handle them. And, it's not a, you know, match that you got to go out of your way to watch, but I thought that it was funny at least. I'll give them that much. Like, I think that that's they're funny. You know, Nosawa is a very funny wrestler. And I will stand by that, you know, take on him. Like, people hate on him, but I do think he's, like, a funny person.
I take this over, like one of those long tag title matches. I would say that they've specialized in. I will give you that. That at least this was self-aware. I'll say that. No.
So, wait, I got to ask you, though. So, what's your overall, like, opinion on Yoshinori Ogawa? Are you not, like, what, do you not like Ogawa period, or do you not like Ogawa and this whole, like, you know, shenanigan dynamic?
Now, Ogawa, like, when he had his matches, like, singles matches versus Kaito, was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like...
You see the match, it's on the show where the Kazuki Fujita and Goshi Uzaki stare down happens.
Yeah.
There's a Yoshinori Ogawa versus Daisuke Harada match on that show.
Yeah.
That match is like one of my favorite matches of the last like 5 years.
Yeah, Ogawa as a talent is very, very strong even
okay,
now.
Okay.
Ogawa in this scenario of this tag team, like very plodding, slow, boring style, not even like in a very smooth or cool way.
Yeah,
like,
it's not technical. He's just crawling. Yeah.
No. I'm not a big fan of that. But like, if Ogawa had a singles run, I'm pretty sure I'd be behind him and he'd have a lot of great matches.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But the tag run, I'm not a, like, I think, like, oh my god. Like, so, some of these matches I've just drunk.
What about Ridgeway? How do you feel about Chris Ridgeway?
He's another one, like, on his own. Like, he's one of the better junior guys, like, that, especially foreigners that they brought in for a while. But in the tag team and the style that they're working, I don't approve of, overall. But I do think that their team was probably the best formulation of Singer. Like, Ogawa and Ridgeway, I will give them that. Overall. But I still would rather see them not do the style. Like, if they were singles wrestlers, I would approve of them and like them, actually. Like, not just like, tolerate them, I would actually like them. I really respect their talents. I just don't like this team and how they handle things. And another thing is that these tag titles, I mean, there's only so much you can drag me through in something that's so utterly meaningless as well, that they've destroyed in credibility for. Like we were talking about, O'Hara, he's a nobody on this roster.
Yeah.
But he was a champion three months ago at the same time, and yet it still feels like, were they even champions? Like, you know, it doesn't even matter. Who knows? That's one of the problems with that style, I think, for this division. But I don't hate Ogawa at all as a singles wrestler. I think he's a very good still. As a tag wrestler, I really am not a big fan of what they've been doing. That's how I personally.
Yeah, that's fair. This is definitely not for everyone, but I'm, you know, I like the sleazy sort of, you know, lucha brawling.
I don't mind. Like I said, I mean, this I think has like, this has an audience, I would say, this goofy Nosawa trios match deal. But the 27-minute, like, nothing matches, like, that's where they're losing me a little bit overall. And
yeah.
I think Eita has been very disappointing. He was a guy that I really liked in Dragon Gate. I thought he was awesome. In Noah, I really don't think he's added much in pretty much any of his matches that I can remember where I thought, oh, man, this is the Eita we need. You know, overall, and I think he's another guy that's really let me down in this team. So I'm more disappointed than even angry.
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, I just find them, like, they're the comedic relief, I guess. Like, it's like, that's what I look at it as, and that made it, like, I enjoy watching them because I know I'm going to see, like, something funny. But I see what you're saying. Like, if, you know, Eita's capable of a lot more than being undercard comedic relief, you know?
And I just don't think he's performed that well, to be perfectly honest. Like, even in his role, I think, and plus he wasn't comedic relief when he was main eventing that all junior sumo all show either.
Oh, that was, rough.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully they get better. Cause I respect their talents at the end of the day. I don't like what they're doing overall. It's like, we talked about Jay White earlier. Like, if he wrestled all completely different, then maybe I'd like him more. You know, like overall, but are they the comedic leaf, or did the next match have the comedic leaf? Because we have the good looking guys, a new faction, Jake Lee is forward with Jack Morris and Anthony Green, which electrified Twitter with this new name and new team.
GLG.
Yeah, GLG here. They took on Masakita Miya, Daiki Inaba, and Yoshiki Inamura. What happened to my Ishii and Kitamiya shoot angle? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the good-looking guys thing is pretty funny, too. I think you're onto something. Jake's quote when, like, I don't know if it was just, like, translated poorly, but where he was like, I want to discover other cool guys. I was like, this is great. Like, this is a fantastic idea for a faction. Jake Lee just looking around for handsome guys that he wants to hang out with. You know, that's sign me up. And, I think the thing with Jake Lee that I've like not been a fan of his, and I wasn't like really excited for him to come in. I watched some of his All Japan stuff and I didn't particularly like it, but I, you know, was told about some, like, his personal circumstances are pretty crazy. Like, do you know his whole thing with his, like, citizenship and everything? Do you know this, like, backstory?
Explain this backstory for us, dude. You're in the know. You're in the info. Let us know.
So he's tweeted about this, so it's, like, public information, but he's Korean. His family is, apparently, like, some family were lived in North Korea, and then, you know, he's never been to Korea. He was born in Japan, but he's ethnically Korean. And because of how the Japanese government works with citizenship and everything, like, he's had a really hard time. He's not a Japanese. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called, like, Zainichi Korean.
Exactly,
yeah. Like Koji Kanemoto and, like, Riki Choshu were, I think, the same.
Yeah.
Like, as well, yeah.
So he's had a hard time, like, getting his citizenship, and he, like, was tweeting about it, and then some Japanese fans were, like, saying, you know, like, they were kind of, like, responding negatively to him, like, complaining about it, and it just, like, made me think for a second, like, man, you know what, like, I kind of want to root for this guy. Like, he's probably going through some stuff personally that's, like, not easy. Like, I, you know, I have no clue what that's like, and, like, that seems like it's probably pretty hard, and I'm glad that he's getting these opportunities, and, you know, he's getting this big stage and he's getting this stable. And so there was a time where I was like, oh, great, Jake Lee. But now I've, like, come around, and I think he's, you know, entertaining as a wrestler. Like, I'm excited to see what he does. They're investing in him a lot. You know, he's pinned Inamura twice now, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's still, you know, it's something. And he pinned him on this show in a pretty, like, dramatic manner. He just kicked him in the head, and then that was it. There was not even, like, a finishing move or anything. So they're trying to, like, build him up to be this dangerous striker, and, you know, just, like, knowing that backstory, and then, you know, just thinking about, I don't know if it was, like, I don't want to get too, the whole thing with the Briscoes, like, just thinking about wrestlers as people, you know, I don't want to just be so harsh on someone because they didn't have a great match. Like, just thinking about Jake Lee as the person, like, I'm on board now. I want him to succeed. I want him to have a good career, and I really hope that this works out for him. And if he goes to New Japan afterwards or whatever, then good for him. I just, like, I'm on board with Jake Lee now. I want to, you know, be supportive and be a fan of his, and I am excited to see where he ends up in Noah. I do think that he would probably – I want to see him in the ring with, like, Hideki or Nakajima or Kenno. Like, I want someone to, like, bring it to him.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, I think that might juice him up a little bit, and I want to see that side of him. Like, that's something where I think he could really start to kind of become a more interesting wrestler. But I'm on board GLG. I think Morris and Green are solid. And I'm just curious to see where Jake Lee ends up on the roster. Like, is he going to be a main event player? He's still pretty young. It's exciting. And, you know, just learning all the stuff I did about kind of what's going on in his personal life gave me a somewhat different perspective on him and kind of just made me want to root for him more.
Yeah, and I think that's totally understandable. You know, for me, I mean, there's plenty of assholes that are great wrestlers as well.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there's plenty of bad people that have talent. That doesn't necessarily make them one way or the other. It's not like their dickheadedness makes them less talented, but also their talent doesn't make them less of a dickhead at the same time. And the same thing with wrestling. You could be a great person who's not a great wrestler. You know, like, I've seen that many times. Or, like, a great person who is a great wrestler. you know, it depends. You know, it's all, they're all relative. You know, they're not necessarily the same to me. I personally have always liked Jake as a wrestler. He was a Zainichi Korean. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but from what I've read of it, it's not pleasant. You know, like, it doesn't, as a Western.
Pretty rough.
And kind of a messed up way of looking at things. But again, I'm not trying to, you know, judge another region or anything like that. I've never lived in Japan, so I don't know all the rules and cultural stuff there. you know, but Jake, as a wrestler, I've always liked him. He's a guy. He kind of reminds me you'll love this since he played for the Giants, but he reminds me of a guy, maybe a wide receiver, a tight end, like an Evan Engram. You know, I know you remember him.
Yes, totally. Yeah,
he has all the tools, but for whatever reason with the Giants, it never quite came together.
Yeah.
But then when he went to Jacksonville, you look at the numbers he's putting up and how great he's been for T-Law, and he's a guy that just he needed a little bit of a change of scenery. But you look at him; he has all the tools, athletic ability, the size, the speed, the abilities. But it just didn't work for whatever reason. Something was missing there. And I kind of think that way about Jake, because when you look at him, he has all the tools that you want. Like, he's got great size. He's still relatively young. You know, he said 34 years old, not old at all. He's a guy that has championship pedigree, like former Triple Crown champion multiple times. He is a good-looking guy, no pun intended here. He has everything you want, but for whatever reason, it just didn't all come together like a lot of people wanted in All Japan. And for me, I really think the total eclipse turn really hurt his standing, in my opinion. I think before – you could, I mean, even before, though, some people were like, he's boring. I thought he was a really good wrestler, like the OG Jake Lee, more or less. Since that turn happened, he's really tried to focus more on character work in a way that's very unnatural, in my opinion. Like this.
Yeah, it's like awkward.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're watching a man perform and play a character, not the real version of himself, so to speak. But he's still got all the tools. So I think this change of scenery is very good for him. I do think it was interesting how they debuted him, because I actually thought they would do a lot more with him off the jump, because in this role with GLG and feuding with Inamura and stuff, that to me really feels like a mid-card act. And yeah. I thought he would have been a lot more than that to jump in, and maybe he could still get there because he's really talented. And I love your idea of put him in there with somebody who will press him a little bit and bring a little bit out of him. I think those guys you named are the exact three that I would point to. Like if you put him, if he does last and makes an N1 run, and you put him in a block with some of those guys, I think you'll be seeing a Jake Lee that is really great. I mean, look at last year, the match with Yuma Aoyagi, the Champion Carnival Final, was a fantastic match. And Yuma was obviously a big reason for that. But Jake held his own, more than held his own, even then. So to me, the talent level, he has everything it takes, all the tools. But will this scenario that he's in pay off? GLG, that could be fun. That feels like a mid-card group to me, ultimately. But I hope that we can see him kind of rise up. And they definitely have plans for Jack. You know that he's going to be something. Green could be a guy in the junior division, maybe, if they want to get behind him. Maybe to him as a trios. But, man, where's my Kita Miyanishi shoot angle? That was all I was thinking about after this. Yeah. There. What do you think of Inamura's gear? I don't know if we've talked about this before.
I am a fan of his, like, older gear. Yes. I think his best look was the black. He had, like, a in-between where he was, like, only wearing a black singlet after he left Congo. And then he had one that, like, sort of had tire theme going. And that, I think, was, like, peak Inamura gear.
Yeah, that was
this is, like, too – it's too much for me.
This is, like he – somebody showed him a tape of Demolition – in the 80s.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I want to be like those guys. Axe and smash. Now I'm here. Like, and that's kind of, that's what it feels like to me.
Too much.
Yeah. I definitely think his look has downgraded significantly with this gear. And, but at these, I guess Kita Miya, even Inamura a little bit, but he doesn't stand out in terms of the power as the other guys. But, man, I hope they do something with Kita Miya and Inamura, because it feels like they're kind of going nowhere. If we're being honest, and I hope to be wrong.
Yeah. I mean, his brainbuster got like the pop of the night up until this point. Like people really reacted to that. But the thing is, I do think like, you know, a lot of people are like, Noah is so bad. They don't do anything with their young guys. They don't know how to book, blah, blah, blah. But like, it's so obvious that Inamura is a special talent. There's no way people in the office don't also see that, or like other wrestlers don't see that they have something special with him. But people just – I just think fans are very impatient. Mm-hmm. Like, we will get an Inamura GHC heavyweight title match. It might not happen this year, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to rule. And, like, I'm just happy to, like, be in a situation where it's like we're on the ground floor with this guy. I know he's been wrestling since 2018, so it's like 5 years now. And he's still not really doing anything of that much importance. But, you know, companies sometimes do that. They take time. New Japan, you know.
You did mention, I want to shout you out too, because you made a point where after Muto retires and maybe some stuff gets cleared out, there will be some spots open for some people. So I don't know. It doesn't really feel like they have these big plans for him right now, but eventually I do think it'll have to come his turn at some point, you would think. But Kitamiya is another guy that I think they could do a lot more
totally.
With, in my opinion. I hope that there is some kind of plan at least for him. In the near future, although obviously I really love Itamura as well. Even though this new gear, I'm, you know, it's amusing somewhat, but yeah. I can't say this feels like a main event act when I look at him.
No, I'm with you.
But still, great talents though all around. And this was a fine match. In general, it wasn't anything too special. I like GLG in the spot they're at. We'll see what happens in the future. It's one of those things we have to wait and see on more than make any declarations. But what I can declare right away is that I loved the next match, which was Kazushi Sakuraba versus Hideki Suzuki. And Timmy Thatcher was there as well, supporting Hideki. I thought this match was so good, to be honest with you. Like, this was my favorite match, I think, on any of the shows. I know I'm probably a little higher on it than the other people, but I think that's kind of what made me... The first match didn't quite grab me as much as I wanted, and yet this one did. So I really loved it so much. I loved the rules of it. This they called it martial arts rules. Mm-hmm. The ref stoppage finish was going on here. All technical wrestling, almost. Man, it was really good. Hideki is so great at like the little things, like even just trying to grab a guy in like a headlock or a rear naked choke. It's like he makes it look like he's trying to kill this guy pretty much. Like no matter who it is.
Totally.
What you said about Jake was so true. I would love to see a singles match with Hideki and Jake because he forces you to earn everything in a match. He's one of the few wrestlers like that where he pushes you to earn everything. You know, he doesn't just perform with you and have, you know, everything super, super choreographed. Everything feels earned. Everything feels special and good. Even if it's like not particularly exciting things. I really, really enjoyed this overall. I thought it was a really, really well done match. And Sakuraba, we got to praise him too. He's a guy that I really loved in his last N1 run a couple of years ago. I thought he was one of the better overall performers in it. And he's showing he's still got it. Even at his age, I thought he did great in this style. And I love this. I hope that we see something. This is a thing, another thing that I'd really like to see, because we've seen Great or Gleet or whatever you want to call him kind of move away from the UWF style and stuff like that. So if Noah can have this, and they kind of did this with the national title even for a while, where it was like shooter type of guys going at each other. Even when Kendo was champion, he would challenge those type of guys. Obviously, it feels like we may be going away from that with Dr. Wagner Jr., Iode Dr. Wagner Jr. as champion, but if we could see a style like this where maybe in the future we could see a Noah where there is a women's title match and then you have this UWF style or like a martial arts style, whatever you want to call it, in here, I think you could have great, great cards up and down, like with great variety. There's a place for this in wrestling, and there's definitely a place for it in Dylan's version of pro wrestling, because I really thought this was great.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. I mean, I think that Noah does this shoot style better than anyone else today.
Definitely the modern age, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, like I don't, it's the best shoot style stuff I've seen since like Battle Arts. I mean, maybe there's some smaller, I know there's some smaller indies that still do some cool shoot style stuff. I know like Capture is doing a lot.
Oh, yeah, Hard Hit runs every now and then.
Hard Hit runs a lot, yeah, but for big promotions, I should say that like everyone's kind of watching. Like New Japan doesn't have it, All Japan's has some guys that have that style, but they don't have like a shoot division. Noah could lean into that, and I would love to see it because I think they have the talent to do it. And I'm with you. This match was really, really, really just fantastic. I really liked Stu and Mark's like stories about Sakuraba.
Yeah.
I think we all know some of the mythology around him, but just hearing their little anecdotes about things they remember or things he does, or they like pointed out when he was like kind of talking shit, like while he's in a hold, he's kind of like joking. And then he escaped from one and he apparently said like, oh, I was in trouble there. And Stu like translated that. And that stuff is like, just, he's such an interesting person to watch in the ring, like every little motion. And the same thing with Hideki, like you're saying, just making it all look earned. And it was just such an intense grappling match. And then the finish was really cool too, where Hideki like was trying to throw him off onto the turnbuckle and then just like passed out. And then he came to and he still like thought the match was going on and everything. And it just felt really,
yeah,
it was so unique. It's like no other, I haven't seen another match like this year, you know, or in a while really, where they do this work shoot sort of stuff. And it's fun. It's a real change of pace. And it's just really enjoyable to watch two guys that are that talented at grappling just go out and grapple for 10 minutes.
You just made a great point. I want to shout it out too. That's something we have to give Noah a lot of praise for, on these shows. In terms of, you know, wrestling, you can pick your favorites or whatever. And even storyline wise, you can pick your favorite booking and all that stuff, whatever. But in terms of the sauce, so to speak, like not the steak itself, but the sauce, Noah has to be the number one promotion because the production values are the best in Japan, in my opinion. Like, in terms of entrance, yeah. I think the commentary is also the best in Japan. You made a great point with Stu and Mark. I thought they did a fantastic job on the show.
Yep.
And I really enjoy their commentary in Noah. I think they've really formulated a team that is not only just great, but also really fits the promotion, I would say, overall. Like,
yeah.
They're great on their own, but they're better in Noah than they would be in other promotions, I think, because of the style to where you could call matches like this, which you know they're super into, too, on a personal level. So they really got that across, and I thought they did an excellent job. And I think the Noah itself, the great thing about them is the production values, the staging, the lighting, all that stuff, and the commentary. I think that they're at the tip-top of the game right now.
Yeah, I think it's just a genius idea to take two people that have MMA knowledge and have them call a pro wrestling show like it's an MMA show, which is basically what Stu and Mark do. And, you know, shout out Mark, like he's, you know, a friend and, they're fantastic. Like, and they add that little element for me. You know, a lot of times, like I'll listen to Japanese commentary on New Japan.
Yeah, me too.
But for Noah, I always, you know, I tune into the English every show because they know these little backstories that, and Stu always translates what's said in the ring too.
Yeah.
Always, just right away. He's like, oh, that's what, you know, Sakuraba just said, I'm in trouble. And like that little element for me is like pretty huge because you get to see that, you know, Sakuraba is kind of playful. He's not really, you know, he's still talking shit and kind of goofing around even when he's rolling on the mat with Hideki. So they did a great job in that they definitely like really kind of thrive in matches like this where there is that sort of MMA background to it. And this was really fun. And if you're a fan of Shoot Style, I think you got to check this out. This was a really good match.
Yeah, and you can tell they're passionate about the company too as well, which, you know, like I said, I'm very interested to see how they call that Okada and Kaito angle on the first show. I think that they might be able to, I bet they're really excited. Like they're much more excitable than the New Japan commentary was. That's just my opinion. It might not even be a good thing to some people, but to me, it
yeah.
The next match we had was Ultimo Dragon showing up in Noah here with Sonny Ono. This was WCW reincarnated right now, bringing back long-time memories from WCW. He teamed with Ninja Mac and Amakusa, the junior champion, took on KZ, Yohei, Adante Leon in this six-man match. Yeah, what did you think of this?
I'm trying to not be, like, really negative about, you know, wrestling, like, this year. Like, I don't want to be as much of a hater as I've been. But,
well, you've come to the wrong place for that.
I picked the wrong. Yeah. I mean, this, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much I should say about this, but, this was probably the worst match I've seen in a while. I think it was just like a lot of elements that didn't work. Like Sonny Ono with the selfie thing was stupid. And then the dancing, we've talked about this before, you and I, like I am not. And this is like a hot take, but I do not like the Natural Vibes dance. I think it's stupid. KZ is a good wrestler. After the bell rings, like I'm down with KZ, but the entrance is like 6 minutes long. I'm just like skipping past it. I don't want to see this whole dance routine. Like,
I'm with you. I'm on team Susumu Yokosuka right now. I don't want to be involved in this dancing.
Yeah. And like, I like comedy. Like, I'm not like a person who's like, oh, wrestling should be serious and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm totally down for, you know, some comedic relief, but it's like so long and the rapping and then like Dante's like kind of, and I was like, I'm skipping this. And then the match, like, they didn't like, it was like supposed to be Lucha tag rules, I think, like Dragon Gate style, where like when you go outside, that counts as a tag, but they like didn't really seem to like figure that out, and they were like looking at each other, and then they were like botching stuff, and then like Amoxa just launched himself to the outside to like try to save the crowd, and then Ninja Mac did the same thing, like did the ninja special, try and like get something, and then it just ended. So this was the worst Noah match I've seen in like 3 years, I think.
Bless Amakusa and Ninja Mac, because I thought they totally, like, I totally was going to make that same point. Like, listen, there was a lot to criticize about this match. There certainly was. But I do think that Ninja Mac especially deserves a lot of praise for his finishing stretch run here.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Just went all out.
And that, he was trying to get the crowd into this, clearly, because, like, what we were seeing was, I mean, this was GCW level. Not to be biased or anything against them, but this was a match you could totally envision being on a GCW show, I would argue. And it just did not work, I would say, overall. And I like you said, KZ as a wrestler is great. And I even like the rapping. I don't love the dancing and the long entrance. I think we could do this in a more concise way. I think this team works on like an aesthetic level. Dante and KZ and Yohei, like, they all look like they could be friends and partners and stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
But with this mix of people, I just don't know in the ring if this is the best usage of some of these guys. But Amakusa, he's the only one I will never criticize on this show, because we love him too much for that. And like you said, he tried to save the match. And I thought Ninja Mac actually did a really good job and kind of brought it around by the end to where it was. I won't say it was the worst match I've seen, because I saw Endo and Sasaki and DDT go 30 minutes, and that was a lot worse than this, I would say. But regardless, yeah, this was the worst match of the show overall, pretty clearly.
I mean, I'm like a big Ultimo Dragon fan.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I, even now, like, he can still move. And I think also, like, if they gave him a match versus, like, Miyawaki or Alejandro and said, like, hey, work some holds, work some lucha style, go 12 minutes and you'll get the win. Like, I would, oh my God, that, sign me up for that. But like, to have him come out with Sonny Ono and do this match, he did virtually nothing. Like, he was in the ring for two minutes and then did the fake out with the moonsault. Just a waste. Why are you paying him that much to, like, just do nothing?
Yeah, this was a favor to the main eventer on the show.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I really would like to see more Ultimo in Noah, because I do think he could have really fun matches with a lot of their junior division in a contained environment. Like, even him versus Ninja Mac, I think, would be really crazy. Because,
oh,
like,
yeah, that would be really good.
Actually. Yeah, like, I like that idea. Ninja Mac would probably – I did think at one point, like, you know, good for Dante Leon, like, to be across the ring from Ultimo Dragon. That's probably a dream of his, you know, like, every wrestler that is, you know, younger, watching him growing up. Awesome. Like, I'm happy for him. But I would rather see even, like, Dante versus Ultimo – in an 8-minute one-on-one match where they can work some cool spots and some lucha style. But this was just way too much. Didn't work out for me.
Well, let's get some positivity back in here. We have an 8-man match up next where we had Yodai Dr. Wagner Jr., Kaito Kiyomiya, Satoshi Kojima, and Takashi Sugera. Look at this team of champions. They took on Kongo team of Kenno, Nakajima, Soya, and Masakatsu Funaki, the fourth man. So they let the juniors. Tadasuke wasn't on the show. You know, in the opener, they put Hiroki in instead of Tadasuke. So
yeah,
he got the win, so he got the night off. But Soya, he couldn't be stopped. He had to wrestle. And look what it led to. What did you think of the same man tag match?
This was fun. I think, like, the pre-match shot of the champions was really cool. Because, like, if you took a step back, you're like, wow, this is, like, a really cool lineup of guys they have here. You know, with Taka and Satoshi, you know, and Kaito with his crazy gear, and then Wagner just looking like this just remarkable entrance gown and his mask and the Mexican flag colors. And it was really cool. I'm like, this is a really cool group of wrestlers to be in this match. And I love Kenno and Kojima's rivalry, like Kenno trying to stop the peck pop and stopping the call out after the chops and the elbow. And they have like a fun little rivalry kind of, and Kojima is always funny. Like, I know he's kind of like he does his thing every match and it is what it is, but he's just a funny guy. Like he makes these funny faces and the crowd loves it. And I think he's like always brought that sort of like that infectious sort of, you know, laughter, and he has a good energy to him. And when he has a spotlight like this, I think it comes across. And, I think like it's cool what they're doing with Soya too. Like, I'm very curious to see where this goes, because he's getting a title match. I think the match will be good. He got pinned like outright here, which
that was my main problem with
that's a weird move.
Yeah, like, why couldn't we have had Tadasuke take the fall here? Like, did we have to pin? He just got the biggest win of his career, and then he gets pinned by the champion like the next match. So I was really, really confused by that at all. I was like, huh. I mean, the odds of Soya winning the title are very low. Like, let's be realistic about this.
They're but definitely at least, low, but I feel like they might be higher now that he took this pin, because it's such a weird move.
This is wrestler logic right now. Yeah. You know, someone's been watching their WWE lately. I see the one who loses beforehand gets the win in the end.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But
no, I don't know. I wouldn't have done it this way is all I will say on that. And I think you could have easily just had Tadasuke or Ohara or Hiroki take the pin here. If you don't want to job out Funaki, that's fine. I get it.
Yeah,
but that's the point. Yeah, like, but just why? You know, like what purpose does it serve overall? Unless, like you said, he does win the title, in which case, you know, that, I mean, I'd be cool with that, honestly. You know, if they had Soya get a little title run.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be a Noah show if you didn't have one match where you were just like, why? Why is this the result?
Yeah.
So that's how I'm looking at this. Sometimes they just do it to do it.
Maybe it'll all make sense in the end. It's a master plan that I'm not privy to yet, and I will come on here if Soya wins his title and be like, okay, that match did actually make sense in the winning. It gives Wagner something to talk about in the future. But I thought the match itself, though, was good. One of the better ones on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest with you. I love the champions team. Like you said, it was a great look. Everybody looked good. Kaito's just in his zone right now, and he's always been among the best wrestlers, but right now he really feels like he's elevating to this new level as a performer. And the others were all really fun. I like Kojima as well. I totally agree with your statements earlier. Kenno and Nakajima, very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was one of the better matches on the show, I would say.
Do you think that Kaito has transcended his ridiculous gear to, like, not make you think about it as much? Because I remember when he first had it, you and I were like, what is this? What is this look?
Yeah, like I said, he's on his way. And we'll kind of talk about that when we talk about the other show. I think he's on his way. There's a path there to El Dorado, so to speak.
Yeah.
But there's still some roadblocks. We might talk about it. That would be one of them, I would say.
The gear is
still not good. But he's performing so awesome now that I think we have to credit him regardless of that. So, good match overall, and like what we saw here. Hopefully this Soya deal will make sense overall. But regardless, we get to the main event. Great Muta, his last match. He teams with his old rival Sting, Sting's protege Darby Allin, the TNT champion currently in AEW, for the record. So we get AEW involvement on this Noah show. And they took on the team of Namichi Marufuji, Hakushi, and Akira Nogami. A blast from the past, certainly, in the New Japan world of junior heavyweights.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of this?
I was, like, when they announced this match, it took me a second to, like, kind of think about what they were trying to say, you know? But I kind of think the story was Hakushi being called in to, like, seal away the demon of the Great Muta. Like, because he's supposed to be like a holy monk, right? Like that's his. And so I kind of like, when I thought of it that way, I was like, oh, this is like a really cool idea. Like, and I thought it was going to go, I then thought that Hakushi would pin Muta and there would be some sort of ceremony with the, that wood stick that was broken that Muta was stabbing him with. It's called, a sabota, I think. Is that what it is? It's no, I forgot what it's called. I looked it up earlier. It's like a Japanese sort of tombstone marking. It's a Buddhist tradition.
Yeah, because he's like a Buddhist monk.
Yeah, he's you know, this holy sort of monk that was going to use his magical power and his holy energy to like end the great Muta and send him back to hell or whatever. And so I was like, I like this sort of theatrical element they're going for with this match.
Is it a Kakara?
I'll find it. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's similar. I just think I mispronounced it, but I was looking it up earlier because I was like, what is this called? And what did, like, Muta at the end wrote the kanji for, like, completion or, like, end, like, in the blood and everything. So I think they were, like, definitely trying to tell a story about, like, this sort of dynamic. But it's funny because, like, Hakushi failed. He, like, fell off the top rope when he was doing his rope walk chop, and he lost. So the demon is still evil triumph, you know, what evil triumph at the end of the night, which is an interesting way to kind of portray that story. But it's called
Shakujo.
No, it's called a Sotoba.
Sotoba, okay.
Sotoba. It's like they're like these wood. I'll send you the article on Wikipedia and you can take a look at it.
I'm very happy to read this.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like and I kind of was like, oh, this is like it's not something you see in Noah, you know? It's normally like, hey, these two guys are fighting for a title and that's it. They tagged together in the past, now they're rivals. So for them to like go with this sort of like meta, more like theatrical, supernatural story, I thought was interesting. Yeah. The match didn't really hit a gear that I thought was that remarkable. Hakushi took that like psycho bump onto the announce table.
Yeah.
Which was like fantastic. And I thought that he really like his whole look with the paint and the contacts, like that's just like, it was all pomp and circumstance, you know, kind of like the Nakamura match. Like just make everyone look as crazy as possible and have some highlight stuff happen and some blading and we'll just kind of go in that direction and then we'll wrap up. And in that sense, I think it was a fantastic match. You know, it's not going to be my match of the year, but, I caught what they were going for and I think it was a cool idea. Didn't really pan out how I thought it would, but still something that was fun to see. And I guess a pretty good way to kind of wrap up. You know, great Muta for good.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Striga, and I have to say a little bit, he really liked the main event of the first show, and then the summer main event. Those are the matches he stood out. And he liked the summer main event of this show, too, but not the main event. And here's my take on this match. First of all, I will praise Shinzaki Hakushi. He clearly wanted to try in this match and work hard. You know, I thought he put the most effort, him and Darby as well, tried very well to put this together in terms of the ring. I really wanted to see more of Sting in this match, to be honest with you, but maybe I'm just being too much of a mark, to be honest, but I was really impressed with Shinzaki. He had that one awkward moment on the rope walk that he kind of messed up. But everything else, I thought he was like moving around really good. Like you said, taking some crazy bumps. He wanted to make his performance stand out at least. And Darby's nuts. So you knew he was going to do crazy stuff. The others, it definitely felt like you said, more of a smoke and mirrors type of match. And I described it to Striga. These were my exact words to the DM. It was messy, but a fun spectacle. That's exactly how I would describe this.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, so if you're into that, I mean, you're not going to watch this for the wrestling. I mean, that's ridiculous to even think about. You're going to watch this for that exact deal. the over the top, this, the spectacle, you know, trying to steal this demonic great Buddha from the Buddhist monk. You know, you want to see that stuff overall with this. That's what this match was for. You mentioned earlier about a match trying to accomplish something, and I think this match did, even though it wasn't. From a working, like, wrestling standpoint, it clearly was not good, like, by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I accepted it for what it was, more or less. It wasn't anything that resonated with me by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't anything any worse than what I expected. So, overall, it was pretty fitting. I can't believe Akira Nogami got in on this somehow. That was
that was the curveball.
Yeah, that was my main point to this. But overall, I thought it was a pretty decent show. Again, I think the bells and whistles to it were really good. The production and the commentary and everything about it. It felt like a big deal, even though really it's not like there was any meaningful match on the show, ultimately, like, you know, in terms of titles or anything like that. But before we get out of here, or not out of here, because we will talk about, we're going to preview the Muda Dome show. I will have one more question for you about the show. I'm going to read you the list of the names on Pure Love about these matches. You pick your favorite, okay?
Got it.
Ohara and Hiroki versus Kotage and Yoshioka. Welcome to Bye Bye. We went to that earlier. We had the Joshi tag match was Who is the Valkyrie? Thatcher and Mochizuki was Best of Iron Man. All caps. The Stinger Trios match was This is Anarchy Time, which fit your description of it very well.
Okay.
We had the Good Looking Guys and Kitami Inamura Inaba match was Wrestling Battle Cry, which doesn't fit that match very much.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Sure. Like, okay. The Sakuraba and Hideki was a Martial Arts Rules match. We had the Ultimate Dragon match was To Rise Sky High. Champions Night was the semi-main event, which is the most accurate of all his names, I would say. There was definitely champions, and it was a night. And then the main event, End of Nightmare. So is Muta even harsher on his own Noah run than maybe I was in naming this?
My favorite, I think, has got to be This is Anarchy Time. Something about that just, that's a great way to start your match. You're just setting the expectation right away.
I agree. I liked Who is the Valkyrie as well. Did we determine that? That is yet to be determined.
I guess it's Jungle. I mean, I don't know. Is it Jungle?
It was a tag match. So
that's
like,
true.
It's both fun. Yeah, they can't, you know, they said one, so these two need to have a match to determine who the true Valkyrie is.
Sign me up for that.
Well, yes, I would definitely love that as well.
Yeah, like, I'm on board with this NOAH women's division if they do it. I really hope they do. I think it'd be really cool.
Yes, and everyone just watch their Joshi matches as well, if you can, like, where they're at, because you have a lot of good things. I just want to see Jungle wrestle more anywhere, to be honest with you, except for America. I just want to see her wrestle anymore, everywhere, pretty much. And Ano is a great talent as well. So they both are Valkyries in our hearts, but until they have a singles match, I will not crown them officially. One thing we forgot to mention about the main event, Kabuki was there.
Yeah, he was...
Really
that's
old.
Why, he's an elderly man. That's kind of why I thought, because they announced that he was going to be there, and that's what started me thinking, like, oh, he's going to, like, oversee the, you know, Muta being sealed away and everything, but I don't know. I had a whole idea in my head for how the match would go, and they didn't do it, but
it was like
you said, a messy spectacle, but still, you know, a spectacle nonetheless, which is, they're rare, especially in Japan, so I think it was fun for what it was.
Absolutely. So before we get out of here, we're going to talk about the Dome show. They released the whole card, and I'm glad we got to that, because that's something I've been waiting on, that we at least see where they were going with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we got the whole card. So shout out to NOAH. Shout out to Justin Nipper holding down the media services for NOAH. Got the card out to everybody. And we see it here. We'll run through this card a little bit, and we'll give some brief comments on these matches, especially the early ones, I would say. So, the starting match, the number one, Starting Love, is the name of this tag match. I absolutely love that.
Okay, yeah.
Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba versus Yoshiki Inamura and Yasutaka Yano.
Yeah. They're all.
I wonder who's taking the fall in this match. I mean,
they're all great wrestlers. I feel like we've seen these three, Kitamiya and Abba and Inamura, in like the same permutation of tag match for so many shows now. They like need to do something there. Like put one of them in Congo or like just change it up because it's like, it's too much now. They gotta move one of them. You gotta move one of these pieces. So I'm hoping we start to get someone, we need something different here, but otherwise it should be a pretty good match.
They've kind of formulated this three-man division almost. And maybe Yano will enter their ranks now with this, and we'll see him on more of their matches together. And so we'll have an even number going forward. But the second match, I guess we got to give predictions. It's just silly, nothing too meaningful, but we'll talk about it just for the fun of it. I will say Yano takes the fall, and Kitamiya gets the win.
Yeah, I'd actually probably go Inaba. They haven't given him a lot recently.
Give Inaba a win.
Your pick for underrated of 2022.
Yeah, give Inaba a win. I will give that. I'll side with you. I changed my pick. He gets the pin now. But either way, Yano's taking the fall. We think pretty sure.
Yeah.
Match number two, TJPW Spark. We see Miyu Yamashita, Yuka Sakazaki, Rika Tatsumi, and Shoko Nakajima versus Mizuki, Maki Ito, and Miyu Watanabe and Yuki Arai. 8-woman tag match here. TJPW getting some influence on this show. Much like New Japan we talked about, now we have TJPW.
Yeah, I think it's cool to get Tokyo Joshi in the Tokyo Dome. Like, that's pretty cool, you know? That's a big stage. So I bet they're all really excited. And I'm excited, too. Like I mentioned, I'm trying to watch a little more this year, so this will be a good little showcase for me to see, you know, who I should pay attention to and who catches my eye. So I'm excited for this match. I could not predict it at all because I don't know much about it, but I will say that Sakazaki is going to pin Mizuki.
I can almost guarantee you that will not happen because Mizuki is challenging Yuka Sakazaki for a title at the next month's show.
Right, well, we saw Wagner pin Soya. This is a Noah show.
Let's see what Tokyo Joshi Pro has up their sleeves. Maybe they'll take a thing or two from old Nosawa with their booking. But I will give you a little bit of backstory on this match. All of the Yamashita team, they are teaming with their tag partners. They're teaming. One team is one side of the tag team, and the other team is the other half.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, so like Miyu teams with Maki, they're 1 to 1 million. Yuka teams with Mizuki, they are the Magical Sugar Rabbits. Rika teams with Watanabe, they're Daydream. And well, Shoko doesn't team with Arai, actually. Shoko teams with Hyper Misao, but they just...
Oh, okay.
Arai is like, that's their project. You know, like their next big star. She was a member of like SKE48.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some stuff about her. That makes sense.
Yeah, so they wanted her on the show.
Got it.
So they replaced. Poor Shoko doesn't have Misao, but the other three are all partners, like with their opponents here. But yeah, Mizuki and Sakazaki are going to fight for the main title, the POP title at the show in March. So I do not think that Sakazaki will beat Mizuki,
okay.
But I think Mizuki will get the pin. No, I think Arai will take the fall, actually. I can see either any of the team winning. I think either Yuka or Miyu will pin Arai, probably.
Okay.
That'll be my pick. So just, we'll see. But maybe she'll pin Mizuki, like longtime tag partners. And plus, a lot of people do think Mizuki might win the title on that show. So that, maybe she will win. Who knows? I'm not going to judge you for your picks here. But it is a spark. So we will go to the next show. Now we have World Warrior Battle here. This is a match with Takashi Sugiura, Satoshi Kojima, and Timothy Thatcher taking on the good-looking guys, Jake Lee, Jack Morris, and Anthony Green. Good mid-card match. Maybe you think they could set up maybe a tag title shot here?
Well, so they're doing Jack versus Kaito before this.
Mm-hmm.
That's like in mid-February, like on the 12th.
Right.
So...
How disappointing. I mean, what if that Okada and Kaito match gets ruined? Jack wins the title.
Well, I guess, I mean, technically he could because it's not a title match between Kaito and Okada. That's a singles match, so maybe. Well, but it kind of spoils both title matches.
Yeah. Because
they wouldn't have Okada drop to Shingo.
Yeah, that wouldn't make any sense.
And that's before this, right? So, I mean, I guess no one really thought Jack Morris was going to win the GHC title.
Is it possible that they split one of these titles, like whoever's losing, because they don't want their champion to lose?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine how stupid that would be?
That would be nuts. Yeah. So in this case, I think that the good-looking guys train will continue rolling. You could be on something with Jack and Green, maybe, or pinning one of the tag champs. But also, they're defending against Kidemiya and Daiki Inaba on that February show, I think. So some of these titles might have changed hands at this point. I don't know. This is kind of a hard... No one really stands out. I mean, maybe Green drops a fall to, like, Kojima or something.
Yeah, he kind of feels like the one he's the one that you would point to be honest.
But. Unless they want to give Jake a win and have Jake pin, like, Kojima. Because they've been booking him up, you know, pretty strongly.
I'll go with Jake. I think he'll get the pin over Sugira. Instead of a tag title match.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe him and Jack will be a team. For that. I don't know. It's okay. I'm not super hyped about this match either way, to be honest, but it'll be a good mid-card type of deal, I think.
Yeah.
We have New Explosion. The next match here, a 10-person tag. Look at this collection of names here. We've got Yoshinari Ogawa, Chris Ridgeway. We talked about these people earlier. Yeah. Eita, Hayata returning.
He's back.
The one we all missed most.
I was going to break the news to you earlier, but I wanted to wait to see how surprised and happy you'd be.
No, I saw this card earlier anyway, so I was not that surprised. I predicted that he would come back on the Dome show, in fact. I thought he might go for the title on the show, but they had another plan we will talk about later. And Daga coming in. Where's he even been lately? He's like a luchador guy.
But. Yeah, I checked his cage match. He's been in working some
Texas.
Some AAA shows, like working a little lucha, working a little like I think he did some Impact like in the beginning of the pandemic. I don't know much about him. I don't really know if like he's good or what his deal is. I'm curious like if this is a new version of Stinger now. Is it Stinger, you know, Del Mal? Like, I don't know what they're trying to tell me with this match, you know?
Daga, he was like a hot prospect maybe 6-7 years ago in Lucha Libre, but never really got anywhere, to be honest. I mean, he was good. I wouldn't say he was like one of the top guys, but we'll see. I mean, I'm coming in at him fresh eyes. He looks a lot different than he used to. On the picture, at least, so.
Yeah.
We'll see what he brings to the table. They face, basically all of the regular junior army. Atsushi Kotage, Yohei, Seki Yoshioka, Alejandro, and Junta Miyawaki. Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of people in this match, and I don't think they'll get a lot of time, to be honest, based on this card. So, I think we'll have to see an all action. Maybe we'll see some goofy stuff in there with Eita, but I think that this could be a good little match overall.
Yeah, I think it's just a junior division showcase.
Yeah.
Hayata probably pins Alejandro or something.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Hayata will for sure get the win in this match. They cannot resist pushing Hayata.
That's a slam dunk for the Stinger Del Mal team. Yeah, Hayata with a headache on Alejandro.
No matter how much I protest against it, they refuse to listen at the end of the day. We have Dramatic Dream Future, which is the DDT influence on this show. We've got Mao, Shunma Katsumata, Yuki Ueno, and Toy Kojima. They're all a faction in DDT, Sauna Club.
Yep.
They take on Tetsuya Endo, Hideki Okatani, Yuya Koroku, and Takeshi Masada. It's like Endo is a main event guy, and they're three young rookies, more or less, on the other end. And Masada is the best worker of the three, I would say, the one that's going to really show a lot, I think, in his spot. If he gets a spot, they're all good. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of them, but I think Masada is the guy that's going to be, like, a top star in DDT. And Koroku is a great worker. Okatani's good as well. I think this is going to be if they're motivated here to just go all out, this could be a sleeper match on the show and be something that's really strong and it impresses people.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of DDT. I think Masada is a, you know, like, generational prospect. Like,
yeah,
I
slam dunk. Yeah.
He's, like, in line to be the next Takeshita. Like, he's going to be something big for them. And this is a big spot for them. I do think, yeah, like, they could, you know, Shunma and Mao, they could kind of go all out. And I'm interested to see what they do with this match. But who's technically the newest person? Is it Masada? Yeah, because I guess he just debuted, like, what, like 4 or 5 months ago?
It was like August, yeah.
So he probably drops the fall then.
Yeah, I can see that. He had a one-on-one match at the start of the month against Takeshita, which was a great, like, 10-minute match between them.
Yeah, I love that match.
Yeah, yeah, he's really good. Great worker. I'm really surprised that Higuchi was not pegged for this in some sort of fashion, to be honest.
But, strange.
Yeah, but I like all the young guys, so I'm not against this per se. I just think it's a very strange pick here. I have no problem with Sonic Club because it makes perfect sense for them all to be a team or whatever, but you know, I don't know. I think you could have been better having two other all-stars on their team and picking Masada as the young guy. Or if you wanted Kuroko to take a fall, then it could have been him. But I don't know. I mean, I like this match on paper though. I think this is going to be a really good match, overall. So I'm hyped about it. I'm going to say Kuroko takes the fall, and I'll say Shunma gets the win overall because they're a part of the team with him and Mao as champions. And Ueno just lost his belt, so.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, so it should be a great match, though. Then we have Dragon Gate versus Noah, the return of the Dragon Gate rivalry here in Noah. What we've all been clamoring for most. We have Z-Brat's team, Shun Skywalker, Kai, and Diamante. Shun Skywalker is currently the Open the Dream Gate champion. He won the title from Yuki Yoshioka earlier in the month. And they take on Nami Shimura Fuji, Iode Dr. Wagner Jr., and Ninja Mac as Noah's representatives here. And I think this could be a somewhat interesting match overall. I think we'll get a lot of wacky heel stuff from Z-Brat's. And I think Ninja Mac will do a lot of crazy stuff, and that will be enough. I don't expect this to be a show-stealing match, but I can see some good mid-card fun for everybody here.
Yeah. It's hard. All these guys are pretty protected, though. I mean, relatively. There's not a clear pin eater here.
Yeah, you're right, to be honest with you. I think if you're going to pick one, it would be Ninja Mac.
That's who I was going to say.
Yeah.
You could have Skywalker pin him, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what I'll go with. I'll Shun pin Ninja.
Yeah.
It's too bad because I like Ninja Mac a lot. I think he's been a great addition to Noah.
This will be fun, though.
Yeah, and I'm happy Kai. He's one of the guys I really wanted to see on Muto's last show. Like, he's a guy that I think has a lot of association with him. So I'm happy that he gets a spot here. Even though
that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get All Japan versus Noah. So now we're seeing all these different companies come in. We have Kento Miyahara, who is the current Triple Crown champion, Suwama, and Yuma Aoyagi. They take on the Kongo team of Keno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and Manabu Soya. And I think the main thing everyone's looking forward to is Nakajima and Kento.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I guess they've kind of buried the hatchet enough to be in the ring together.
I feel like I mentioned this at some point on either your show or maybe somebody else's, or maybe I said it off air, but I had heard a little while ago, like a year or two ago, that they had actually they're not best friends now, but they don't, because at certain point there was like, they couldn't even be in the same room together.
Yeah, they like hated each other. Yeah.
Yeah. And Kento really hated Nakajima. But it seems like things have at least cooled. I mean, it's obvious they have because now they're having this match together. So they've cooled down to somewhat. I'd heard that a while ago, and this basically confirms that to be true, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to hear that. I would love to see them lean into that though, and have Nakajima pin Miyahara and then
would be awesome.
Yeah, go return the favor in a triple crown match or something. Like, sign me up for that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
That's a money match that All Japan.
Yeah, it's a big match for All Japan.
Yeah, that they could totally use, to be honest. And I mean, Soya is a clear lost post if you wanted to do that, but I think your idea is better for everyone long term. I think that Nakajima pinning Kento is the right way to go, but I don't know. Like, are they that far along to where we can agree like this? That we don't know. At the end of the day, we're having the match. Maybe that'll be all it will be, and Kento will pin Soya, and that'll be the end of it. But I don't know. I like your idea. Something I have a good feeling about this. I think I'm going to go with that. Nakajima over Kento.
It could be the first, spark in a renewed. Because we've talked about this before, like how All Japan and Noah could have a little, they could do something. And I think that this would be that's the perfect two wrestlers to start it off with.
I don't remember who said this, but somebody was really skeptical that All Japan would have a match on this show. But I was thinking when I'd read that or heard it or whatever, I don't know. I think that they would have to be on there only because they meant so much to Muto. So much to Muto. You would have to have them on here in some form. The All Japan team doesn't make a lot of sense to have Suwama teaming with the other two. The other two are perfect together because they're a regular tag team. Suwama is their enemy, but whatever, it's fine at the end of the day. So now we have the Final Day Lucha. Gato and Taiji Ishimori, New Japan getting their presence here. And we're going to see more of that as time goes along. They take on Nosawa and Masada. Masada, full Tokyo Gurentai levels reached, and Gato is here as well. Is this the end of the road for Nosawa Rangai?
I am not questioning Nosawa. He'll never be able to get a retirement match in the Tokyo Dome if this isn't his actual retirement match.
That's literally the exact argument I used with some it's
the biggest spot he could possibly get. It's pretty high up the card too. So I think he's actually hanging it up. I think he's probably just has a lot of injuries, and I think he's still, I don't know if he's the booker now. Like, I know there are some reports, and we've talked about this, like maybe Kendo Kashin got in the mix, and I think that from what I've heard, like Marufuji might have some input, but I do think like he's going to stick around behind the scenes. But I think he's hanging it up after this. And so he'll probably pin Ghetto. But I think this is the last Nosawa match, sadly.
Nosawa gets the win over Ghetto. Okay.
Yeah, he's a carny, he's going to.
But this is my argument for Muto winning in the minute earlier, so yeah, I can't completely write it off. But I don't know. I can see, one of the others pinning. I can see Nosawa doing the job on the way out. But
yeah,
I'll say it just to be different, I guess. I'll have Ishimori piss off a lot of people in Noah's past, and we can get the pinfall at the Tokyo Dome over Nosawa, the former IWGP Junior Champ, not even a month ago. So, speaking of IWGP Junior Champions, we have Tokyo Tornado, champion versus champion, IWGP Junior Champion Hiromu Takahashi versus the GHC Junior Heavyweight Champion Amakusa in a match that they've wanted and publicly stated for a year now, over a year at this point.
Yeah.
And we're finally getting it on the dome. And this match, I really want Hiromu to bring it here. We haven't really seen that the last few matches of his. I need to see him at all full Hiromu levels, because I know Amakusa will bring it, because he's going to be so in the dome. This can be an awesome, awesome match. And like if they do it, and I hope that we see that.
I'm with you. I think that this will be. Like, I feel like Hiromu this is a big spot. He's in a different environment. He's got a new opponent who is gonna go all out, and someone he's called out and said he wants to wrestle. And I think that they're gonna have one of those really crazy sort of fast paced, high risk junior heavyweight style of matches that I think is gonna be really, really good. And people will look back on It's probably going to get overshadowed by the next two matches, but I do think, like, when people are looking at, you know, some of the best junior heavyweight matches, I think that this will probably be up there.
Absolutely. I love this match on paper. Who do you think wins?
So I think if you look at these last three matches, there's a lot of that, like, horse trading here, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't think New Japan sweeps.
No, I don't think so either.
It's a Noah show, right? So, but I don't think Amoxa pins Hiromu.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's really hard. I think, like, I feel like all three of these matches are coin flips because they're all so dependent on the other ones.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think by the time we get to the main event, we'll have a good idea of who's winning it based on these two matches.
Exactly. Yeah. But I couldn't tell you who I would pick until that moment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I feel like it's so 50-50. Although, I mean, I don't know, like, Hiromu, unless, cause the thing is too, these aren't title matches.
No, they're champions.
So they could set up a title match easily if you have, you know, depending on, like, I don't think Okada would challenge for the GHC. I don't know. It's the, like I said, it's so much like horse trading here. We're trying to figure out what permutations you can go with, but I would say that I think Hiromu wins, Kaito wins, and Naito wins.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think Hiromu's going to win this match, to be honest with you. Against my objections, because I wish Amakasa would win, personally. Yeah. But Hiromu, I think, is a great talent overall. It's just I don't think he's brought the best, or maybe it's just the crowd has rallied against him in both of his last two big matches for whatever reason that kind of thrown me off. Because I really think of him as this explosion of charisma and this amazing daredevil wrestler. And you mentioned his injuries and stuff that maybe took a peg off of him. But even when he faced Evil, he had Evil's best match. Like, yeah. You know, or like one of them at least with him for the title. And I think the world of him is a talent, but I think he'll win anyway. Long story short, maybe that will lead to a second pairing, which I'm totally fine with if that happens. I would love to see that, but that leads to the heavyweight match shining through the IWGP heavyweight champion Kazuchika Okada versus the GHC champion Kaito Kiyomiya. So yeah, what do you think?
So I didn't think that they were going to do this. Like, I was, cause it didn't make sense to me that you would burn this match.
I completely agree with that.
Right? Like, on a card where, you know, you're already raking in a huge house. So why do you burn this when this could be a huge gate at another show? Mm-hmm. And so that leads me to believe that Kaito is going to get the win here to set up a challenge for the IWGP World Heavyweight title that he will then lose. Because I don't know why they would burn it unless they're going to do it again. That's my thought process.
Yeah, on paper when this was announced, I was like, oh man, like, this is way soon for what we had there. They have done an interview with Okada where he was like, I'm not doing this match. Like, nobody,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, no, nobody told me about this. I don't want to just do this match right here. Well, what the hell is this? Nobody told me. So that is something to keep an eye on if they pull some kind of bait and switch on the way here, which would be a very carny move, to be honest. Like, oh, get everybody excited that first week or so, and then 2 weeks from now, they're going to be like, we're changing our mind. I think that this match will happen on this show. Man, it's just... it's really tough for me to imagine Okada losing, in all honesty. You know, as much as I wish it would happen, somebody mentioned a great idea to me on Twitter when I was talking about this, because a lot of people liked it and saw my post about it on Twitter about how great the angle was and how it totally justified this feud, like this interpromotional rivalry for a New Japan standpoint.
Yeah.
Somebody brought up the idea of doing a very similar deal to what happened 23 years ago with Toshiaki Kawada and Kensuke Sasaki, where Sasaki lost and then forfeited the title, you know, out of shame, pretty much. And I can totally see this happening with Inoki. And basically, they built his run up again to get the title back to where he could beat him. And back then, I think they did it at the Tokyo Dome. But I love the idea of them holding this title up for a little while and giving something for Kaito to challenge for and strive for in the future. and be a roadblock for Okada suddenly to reverse the usual terms of Okada's rivalry. I'd love to see them drag this out a little bit. Have Okada be like, I've shamed Inoki by losing this match of champions. Like, I cannot be the champion right now. I have to forfeit it. And maybe they could do something. Like, in my mind, I would love if it was like a G1 and the winner would get the title. And, you know, Kaito could join the G1. That would be the final of it. I think that would be an amazing moment. But even if it's just New Japan Cup, I think you could do something like that to where, like, the winner of the cup wins the title. A month later, and Okada can get his win back that way.
Wow. Yeah.
I think that would be a brilliant, like, way to do two big matches in a short period of time. And then that one versus one is lingering. You know, we save that until next year, maybe at the next New Japan and Noah show or, you know, something like that. You know, in January, maybe even at the Dome if they wanted to do that, if they could, you know, pull something off like that. I think that would be a great idea. I love that idea of Okada being just totally shaken by this loss to where he has to have not a character change, but a character breaking point to where he can rebuild himself into the full version of Okada. Cause we saw a version of Okada we've never seen before in that Kaito angle. So I love that idea of Kaito winning, and like giving Okada something that breaks his mold more or less as the unflappable ace of New Japan that there's always been, always number one, the golden child, blah, blah, blah. And now you have this guy who you've basically disrespected a bunch and said wasn't really on your level before, and now he beat you in your first one-on-one match. I think that's more interesting of a storyline. I still am having trouble foreseeing that. And I think it would actually, even from a business standpoint, I think it would be better for Okada and New Japan if that is how they did it. But I still am really having trouble like seeing Kaito winning this, unfortunately. And I said it on Twitter. I really think if it's not here, he needs to get a big win over somebody from New Japan, like a main event level person, to put him on that level, get through whatever humps he's gone through on his road, do a lot of different things. I really hope that if it's not this, I mean, obviously, if it's this, then he's made for life. But if it's not this, I hope that they have something in mind for him to give him a big win, to give him that credibility of being a star on the level of New Japan. But as it is, like I said, I can't pick against Okada in big matches. We've been down this road too many times, no matter how much sense it makes. So I'm going to have to go against my heart. I'm going to use my brain on this one. And hopefully I'm wrong. I hope you're right. You come back on here and you say, damn. Yeah. Like, look at how great that match was. Because I do think this is going to be just an unbelievable match. Like, that Tokyo Dome crowd is going to be hot. I think. And I really wish they had pushed it away a little bit more, pushed it back a little bit more to build up to it some. Just a little bit more I would have wanted Kaito to get that big win, feel like he's on that level, and we get to see that instead of playing, you know, ultimately this will be a secondary match to the main event, overall. Even though to the fans, I think a lot of the fans, this is the match we're all anticipating the most. So,
yeah.
I do think the reason they did it, I really think they want to sell out this show. Like, they want to be the one to put their mark on it, sell at the Tokyo Dome, and New Japan can kind of take credit for it if they want, say they needed their guys to win, but ultimately, this show is going to beat the Wrestle Kingdom, like, in terms of attendance, and I think they say, we don't want to just do that, we want to have the highest ticket sold in years and years for this.
Yeah, like in a decade or something, yeah.
Yeah, probably even longer than that, technically. So I think that they want that. I think they want to hit that, the fight levels with tension in June. Like, that's what they have. Somebody saw that show and thought, maybe we can do that with this Muto show. And maybe they can. I mean, I wouldn't – I don't think that's out of the question with this Muto retirement. I think there's going to be tons of star power, like, showing up to this show, retirement ceremony and all that. The ceremony is going to be just – massive, you would have to expect, after the main event, regardless of who wins. And that's another reason why I think Muto will win, ultimately, so New Japan doesn't sweep at the end of the day. And I think the champions will win, and Muto will get his win at the end, because I don't think the winner of that match is actually that important.
I can't really disagree with that either. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, and, you know, it would be, if Noah's the one asking New Japan for the favor, New Japan's only going to agree if they're getting something out of it.
And let's say that happens. Let's say that it happens exactly as I predicted, and New Japan wins both title matches, and Muto wins the main event. And they do a huge number on this Tokyo Dome. Like, blow past all the New Japan Wrestle Kingdoms in the last decade or whatever. Was it worth it, in your opinion, for Noah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I don't, I think that people, at least, like, wrestling fans that I talk to, like, on the internet, like, think that wins and losses matter a lot more than they actually do in the grand scheme of, like, wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there are very, the idea of someone, like, watching this show that doesn't know about Kaito Kiyomiya, mm-hmm. and is, like, a new fan or is a New Japan fan or is, like, a Muto fan, and they, like, go to the show and they're so excited and they see this amazing match with Okada and Kaito.
Yeah.
And Kaito loses, that person's not going to be like, oh, he lost this fake match, this fake fight, so I'm not going to support them, and I have no interest in seeing this wrestler. It makes no sense. Like, I don't understand. Like, I get the logic of, like, building up stars, but you can build up stars in matches that they lose. Like, you can build up stars with angles and stuff, like we've seen on this show.
And we did just see that, but I will say something to that point. Yes, that angle was awesome. But if you remember, when they called the bell in that match and it was a no contest, the fans booed.
Yeah.
Like they were still invested to want to see a winner, even in that meaningless tag match.
Yeah. Ultimately. Yeah, no, I definitely think they'll have a winner. Like, but I don't think
I don't think that's impossible either, that this doesn't go to a draw. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
If it's 30-minute time limit, I could see it going to a draw. Yeah. Especially if they want to do another.
Every single minute of the 60-minute draw. Or repeat, the Kojima and Tenzan.
59, oh, yeah. 59, 58 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, that match. But I could totally see this, especially if it's a 30-minute time limit. I could totally see this being a draw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that actually might be the most logical outcome to all of this. Like, because it accomplishes everything we both want out of it, more or less. Because, okay, now New Japan wins the junior match. Muto wins the main event, but also it's a draw in the other match. And it leaves room for another match between them.
Yeah.
So I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could totally see that. That might be actually what happens. Like, the more I think about it. And
yeah. I could totally see it too. Cause especially if they want to do another match. I mean, that's the best way to set it up.
Yeah. But if Kaito does win, I do think Naito may win the main event at the end over Roth. If they go that route, I think that I'd have to, like I said, by the time we get to that main event, I think we'll have a good idea of who could win these other two matches. But right now it's a little bit harder. So yeah, thank you for coming on the show, Dean, and taking up so much time. 3 hours on pro wrestling.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad you had me. It was a blast. I think it's like, you know, really exciting to talk about Noah right now. There's just so much going on. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens after this big Muto show and where they go. And, you know, I was saying before that they have a Sumo Hall in May, which I think is going to be the first big test. You know, if they just go back to like 2,000 fans, 3,000 fans, then I think we're going to start to see some concern. But if they're up with a 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 fan attendance for that, it's going to be really interesting to see where they kind of go for the rest of the year, and really exciting times. And thank you again for, you know, giving me the invite. I love talking about it with you.
Oh, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it, man. And I think Noah right now, they're on a roll. I think they're the hottest they've been in quite some time. And I think that right now it's not like everything's perfect in the company, but they're pushing the right buttons for what they need to.
Totally.
And I have very high hopes for this Muto Dome show. I think it's going to be a spectacular event. Love seeing all the companies come together. That's something I love too, that we don't really get as much of these days. You know, all the different styles, DDT, Dragon Gate, All Japan, New Japan, Tokyo Joshi Pro getting a match on there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I love seeing that. I think the attendance level is going to be super high for this. It's going to be a great show. And I think that, you know, I'm so happy and excited to talk about it, man. Because, like I said, there has been a wave of negativity. Definitely last year, I think there, you know, from the Nakajima and Fujita match to the end of the year, it was like one thing after the other. People would point.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we've got a real good vibe for Noah at the moment. And you know, I really appreciate what they've done, and I gotta give them praise. I'll criticize them when they don't do stuff right, that I think. But when they do stuff right, I really gotta praise them here, and I'm happy to see it as well. So, hype for the show. One more question. Do you think Muto does anything with WWE for getting Nakamura on the 1-1 show?
When is, I think the Rumble was the date that you and I had, like, circled as, like, a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's the 28th.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I can easy, easy bump. You yeah. go in, you spray a mist, you go over the top rope.
Yeah, exactly. Like I could totally.
See I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, fun stuff. Maybe go in the Hall of Fame when time comes. But who knows what will happen with Muto on that. I just wanted to ask because that's something we talked about before on the Patreon. But speaking of the Patreon, y'all got to check it out if you want to hear. Shout out to Dr. Jonathan. We're gonna do a whole series on Muto. And a week of Keiji Muto in New Japan. Nice. So we're leading up to his amazing book talking about the split of All Japan, the Muto years in All Japan, and you know, taking place after the Noah All Japan split. Definitely highly recommend that book. Lots of great stuff. Obviously, his other book, Gambaru, too, is a wonderful book as well, leading into that. So you get split on the first book, and then the Muto years covers All Japan through the 2010s, pretty much leading into that. So we're covering Muto up until he leaves New Japan to All Japan, and we'll do a follow-up series too. That's almost like a sidekick piece to his book, where we're gonna watch 7 matches from his series or from his career from before he leaves New Japan, and some interesting ones, some crazy ones. There's a WCW match from 2000 in there, so you know something nuts is gonna happen there. Wow. Lots of Keiji Muto discussion coming up as we head towards the road for his retirement, but only $3 for Muto tier, you get that. $5, you get everything. We covered all kinds of promotions. 90s Project 2, 98, working on that. Me and Fredo Esparza are going to do the top 10 for 98. Only 1 year left. After that, should be a lot of fun. And all the coverage of Noah, New Japan, All Japan. There's going to be a show up in the next couple of days about the great All Japan show from earlier. Anything going on in the world of Japanese wrestling, it gets covered on the Patreon. Dramatic Dream Dragons, check that out on 5-Star Network. Me, Sandra, and Yannick having a lot of fun talking about Dragon Gate. I don't know if I'll actually be on the next episode, like I said, but we will see how it plays out. And one way or the other, I will come back unless, you know, somebody just votes me off Council Island, I guess you could say, overall. But I don't think that will happen. I've got a lot of love from Scott and the people involved in that and doing great things on there, so very happy. Keep your eyes peeled for Eastern Lariat, too. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the future. Big-time projects and things coming up over the next couple of months, so please keep track of it. Follow us on Twitter at Eastern Lariat. Dino, you have anything to plug before we get on out of here? Or any last words to the fans as well?
Nah, I mean, find me on Twitter, DNMT67. There's a link to the Noah Discord if you want to come chat. Mark is on there posting. We got some fun stuff, some matches, and if you use Discord, come check it out. But yeah, just want to say thank you again. I had a blast, and I really enjoy chatting about Noah. So thanks a lot, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you'll be back on again to the Patreon talking about Noah many times in the future, if I have my way anyway.
Sign me up.
As long as you want. Yeah, absolutely. The door is always open for you, man. I really appreciate your takes. It's great to have you. Hopefully all you guys listening had a great time as well listening to us about Noah. Let us know what you think on Twitter as well about the upcoming Muto shows, Muto Dome show, and the shows we had just now with Noah as well the last couple of days. So thank you guys so much for listening. Please give warm welcomes to Striga. He will be back on the next episode. We miss you, buddy. It's going to be a really fun one next episode. We're planning to do a draft episode. So everyone loves those. So it's going to be a new take, an idea that I've come up with, and it's going to be interesting to see how it comes about. But thank you, guys. I really appreciate all the love, all the support, all the listeners. Tell your friends if they like Noah. This is a big-time Noah show. Also New Japan as well, even if you like New Japan. If you like any wrestling, look at all those companies on the Dome Show for Muto. But as always, you know I love you. And until next time, sayonara.
This is Dave Nick. Listen to the vid. Hey, a party, I'll talk to you.